much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Let me see it.
It's in beta testing.
Let me see it.
Get the thing. Go. Lube it up. Kevin, start mopping.
Uno, dos, tres.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
And that's Dickie the Punchline Donkey.
Dickie the Punchline Donkey on the radio.
In the morning.
FM.
It seems like it would be a natural reaction because other people have treated you like your life, like you're incredibly, you know, great and your life is great and you must have. And they all treat you differently than they do normal people. How do you keep your head about you?
And now.
What?
Our feature presentation.
You guys, you'd like to edit it to make me sound dumb? Why do you have to do that?
I don't know, but the people who heard you say it live must be confused by your statement now.
I'm guessing there's less of those.
Yeah, that's probably true. They'll probably believe your revisionist history.
Right.
Hey, party people, welcome in to yet another new Kevin and Bean show. We are as shocked as you are that we are here again today. Like, how do they invite us back after what we did yesterday? You know?
It's a good question.
And the day before, and all of last week, and last month, and last year. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
What's going on?
All right.
Really?
Good times.
I'm exhausted. I got stuck on a Sigalert yesterday afternoon, which I should never get stuck on a Sigalert.
Well, you would think that the traffic person would know.
Would know. Would think to check before
don't
she got on the 405.
Don't you get constant traffic updates immediately, somehow directed to your phone or your butt or something?
You would think. To her butt?
Straight to my vagina, weirdly enough. I didn't check. I didn't think about it. So I'm in West L.A., so I'm going to the Valley, 2:30. But I'm thinking it's Columbus Day. It's not going to be that bad.
Oh, yeah. Columbus Day really cleared it out.
So I'm on that freeway at 3 miles an hour for half an hour, and I think...
Sweet.
Maybe I should see if this isn't normal traffic.
Right.
Yeah.
Good.
And I was there an hour and a half.
Sigalert, those of you that don't know, that word means basically an hour delay.
Yeah.
It's not good. But
And what was the reason? Did you find out?
Yeah, they had the left three lanes blocked with an injury accident. Mm. Injury accident. Yeah. So I'm still tired, is what
good
I'm saying.
Times.
And kind of that's annoyed.
Pretty exhausting. It's like running a marathon. Drive it an extra hour, right, Lisa?
It is.
It really
she
is.
Had to sit there.
I didn't get home till 4. I mean,
wow.
I was gone for like 11 hours yesterday. That's a long day.
But you got home at 4 p.m.
I know, but I left at 5 a.m.
Right, and you're still tired today.
I am.
What's up with that?
I don't know. I think I need a vacation.
I played poker last night.
Oh,
I think we're losing
you're
Lisa.
Probably tired, too.
We are losing Lisa, yeah. I'm tired, but you can't tell the difference between me tired and me healthy.
Sure.
That's true.
You may as well play.
Energetic.
Well, here's a story to get us going. You know, you always hear these stories about the free health care that you get in a lot of countries. I mean, it's a big bone of contention with people in this country that many folks can't afford health care, or the health care that they have doesn't do what they would like it to do. And other countries, you just get the impression, you know, hey, I'll just go in for everything because it's free. Why not? And I understand from, you know, people in Canada that there maybe are some downsides, like there's a little bit of a wait to get in to see a doctor, but you do get it paid for.
Right.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a wait can be 5 hours.
Yeah, depending on where you go and what you've got. In Cuba, there's a story in the news that apparently the nation's free health care there covers everything, including free penis enlargement surgeries.
What?
Are you kidding?
And a lot of people are trying to take them up on the penis enlargement surgeries, and because they're free, because why not? So a sexologist, if you can believe they have this position, at the Ministry of Public Health has started a new campaign in Cuba who is urging young men worried about the size of their penises to not take advantage of the free penis enlargement surgery. He said instead, he's alarmed by the significant demand from young men who want the surgery. He says
meat on the menu this week.
He says that they can't do that much for you and that you should be concentrating more on other ways to please women than worrying about the size of your penis.
This is probably one of those things where they just kind of, no one thought about it. Yeah, sure, we'll cover that, whatever. And then everybody started to run on the places and they were like, whoa.
That can't be cheap.
We can't handle all these.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I imagine it would cost, a fair amount of resources just to do all those surgeries for people who just walk in. But instead, the campaign urges self-esteem and knowledge as the best way to combat the anxiety of having a smaller penis.
Mm.
So that's a campaign that's happening in Cuba right now. Now, I didn't know, and maybe I'm late to this party, but I didn't know there even was a surgery that – is there a surgery that is done that does – that yeah. does improve the situation? I didn't even well, know I mean, that was a real thing.
I think it. They can.
They
can
release a little bit more from the inside to the outside.
Oh,
sort
I
of.
See.
Do you I know see. What I mean? They cut a little skin in it.
Yeah.
I got you. Yeah.
It's not significant.
It is not.
Because I had that. I had the reduction in 91 and then another one in 2000 because sure. it had grown back. So I don't know anything about going in this direction.
Right, sure.
But I just got tired of the weeping, you know?
Sure.
The
sure.
horror
the women
and the
running.
Weeping.
From all the women you're not having sex with.
Yeah, but every one of them was could feel what the pain would have been like.
Sure.
So, anyway, so that's what's happening in Cuba right now. So apparently don't get the free penis enlargement surgery.
Okay.
That's weird that they would Noted. Cover that. It seems like in Cuba, they pretty much, it's a dictatorship, right? I mean, they just basically do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So they just go, man, no health care for you. Next. Oh, nope.
Yeah.
No food for you. Next.
Yeah, it does seem like they could just say no
yeah.
and not have to bother explaining or talking you
right.
out of it because that's how they run things down there.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Your attitude just sucks.
It does. You think it sucks now. Wait till later today. It'll be much worse. On today's program, we have William Shatner coming in.
How about that?
Yay!
Who's better than William Shatner?
Bean has a really, from my perspective, a really bizarre list of his top three celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is William Shatner.
Well, how could he not be? Look at all he's given to the world.
I love him. He's a great guy. Every show he's on, he's funny. He's a great guy. He's been great to the show. He comes on all the time. So we're looking forward to that. We're also going to...
And by the way, you know, we were making fun of the late Al Davis, owner of the Raiders, yesterday. He was 82 and looked 150. Am I right?
He looked 150 for the last 10 years. Yeah.
William Shatner's almost 81.
Yeah.
Look at him. Look at the difference.
I know.
The guy's going to live forever. He's incredible.
He's going to outlive all of us, and that's going to be a bummer, but good for him. We also have on today's program Sarah Michelle Gellar.
That's right. What I'm talking about.
Star of Ringer.
Mm-hmm.
I like that show, by the way. I don't know if you guys are watching it or not, but I really like it.
Yeah. I do too. I wonder if they're working toward a bad lead and good lead, you know, making out or something. You know what I mean?
They're
oh,
sisters.
Cool.
God,
are you gonna ask
they're sisters.
Question?
They're sisters.
All right, scratch that question.
Thank you.
Yeah, you've been watching it.
I have been watching it. I watched the first two.
Uh huh.
You had a premonition, a dream, and it came true.
Bum, bum, bum.
This is a weird topic because you have to kind of take the people's word for it that they had a dream. Sometimes people, I don't know. But it's a weird topic. We have a great kickoff story, which is somebody Lisa knows
mm-hmm.
that actually had a dream about, and it wasn't even just about himself. It was about another situation, and it actually happened.
Yeah, a terrible thing that happened.
Yes.
And
So I think your friend might be to blame.
Oh, my God. I never thought of it that way.
Saying he saw it ahead of time.
Actually caused
it. It was a disaster.
Right?
Yeah.
Hmm.
You might want to double check who you're hanging out with.
I might.
We also have breakfast with Coldplay tickets.
There it is.
Got that coming up today as well. We're going to do that in two different times. We're going to give you games and ability to play and win those tickets. As a matter of fact, we're going to do that in about a half hour here.
All right.
So that's coming up. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 10 minutes till 6.
Minutes away from winning your way into breakfast with Coldplay. Just announced here on the Kevin and Bean Show yesterday. This is our latest in a long line of breakfast. Big band, tiny place. You get to come on down. In this case, by the way, it's come on down to the radio station because we are going to be debuting the brand new Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. Right down the hall from where we're sitting right now. You get to come visit us at work. It's Bring Your Audience to Work Day.
Thank God. I'm tired of running into the van and then trying to get through traffic and get there late. That's not fun.
So anyway, if you love Coldplay like we do, of course, they got that brand new album with the unpronounceable album title getting ready to come out soon. So they're going to be in performing live and answering our questions and yours. We got tickets you can win coming up in minutes right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time to take a look at the Showbiz Beat. Ordinarily, Ralph Garman would be stepping in, but apparently after his appearance on House last night, he's at home with his agent fielding offers for the It's Bobby spinoff.
It's Bobby.
It's so weird. I mean, look, we've been in this business a long time and have met lots of people who are on television and in movies. It's still weird for me to see Ralph in a thing because he's Ralph. Yeah. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I saw the Kevin Smith movie, and he was very good in it, but he's still Ralph. You still look at him and go, hey, that's that dude. And then when he walks in last night, you know, he walks into the hospital room playing the boyfriend of a patient on House, I'm thinking, I thought Ralph was married. You know, it's just very confusing for me because he's a real guy. But apparently the It's Bobby spinoff is going to be very, very popular, and I think you'll see his drunk, belligerent, leather coat-wearing alcoholic appear on all sorts of shows.
All right.
It's going to be awesome when he stops by the new girl, starts seeing him on Parenthood.
They finally started casting the real Ralph. I like it.
So anyway, he'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, what do you want to start with for today's Showbiz Beat this hour?
I would like to start with Christina Aguilera.
Yeah.
Who, I don't know if you saw the Michael Jackson Forever concert in Wales, some of the highlights, some of the pictures out of it, but she fat. She,
oh, yeah.
I saw her on The Voice, and she definitely was packing on some pounds. Yeah.
Come on, fatty, keep up.
She apparently ran up an $8,000 bar tab.
Whoa.
In a single night after performing at that Michael Jackson show. But the problem is, it's not just her. She and her entourage of... Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
22 security guards.
Oh, come on.
Oh, they're all security guards?
22 bodyguards, it says, yes.
I thought that two of them might be bodyguards and the rest would be friends and crew and staff and whatnot.
I would imagine that's probably reality, Bean. I'll bet it was just 22 in her entourage, but she has to call them bodyguards so they're working and...
Well, they're drinking. How good of bodyguards are they?
Well, 22 bodyguards and other hangers-on ran up the bar tab at the St. David's Hotel in Cardiff.
$8,000 is not that bad, by the way, then.
What? $8,000 in one night?
I'm just saying for 22 people in, where are they, Ireland or Wales or something like that? Mm-hmm. That sounds like a pretty typical night for those people.
Plus, she needed to eat a lot.
Well, that's what
really
it is.
She really ate.
Fat.
I mean, and it's sad because she's never been one of those super skin girls, skinny girls, right?
Mm-mm.
But you really do have a lot to compare it to. That's the problem. It's not just that she looks like she looks like she used to look a one way, and then now you look at her and you go, whoa!
Yeah.
How about a little less buffet?
Well, I think she took a fair amount of time off and, you know, had a kid and all that, so...
Overweight people have it hard enough being disgusting without you making fun of them.
Right. Yeah, Kevin.
And she's not performing like she was. It's not like she's out there...
Touring.
Yeah, touring and sweating. Yeah. So,
she's,
I mean, she's
just solely eating.
And sitting in those big chairs on The Voice, right? Exactly.
Right.
here's an interesting story. I was... surprised to see this. Have you ever worked someplace where they make you listen to a radio station that you don't like, you don't want to? I imagine a lot of job sites, you know, you work in, you know, construction or even on an office where they want to have, you know, some background on. Got to be tough to get everybody to agree on what station because not everybody's into the same kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a woman, though, who is suing because she was forced to listen to Rush Limbaugh. Now, when I saw the headline, I thought, first of all, it's absurd that she's suing. But second of all, that would really suck to be in an office if you had to listen to all 3 hours of El Rushbo every day. It would really be annoying if you don't like that show, right?
Totally, yeah.
And then when I read the story further in the New York Post, I found out that this wasn't a workplace situation. She was suing because she was arrested for driving on the shoulder of the road. And on the way to jail, while the police officers were taking her to jail, they were listening to Rush Limbaugh in the squad car. So she's suing for what must have been, how long a ride could it have been?
10 minutes.
Ten minutes? Who sues after hearing a radio show for 10 minutes? She says she's black, by the way. Yeah. She claims that she heard the host making derogatory comments about black people. And she is suing, and the case is heading to federal court.
Oh, it's not getting thrown out. That's unbelievable.
I know. This is what we always say. If you bring a case that's too stupid, the judge ought to be able to say, not only are we not going to take this case, but we're going to fine you $100,000 for wasting the court's time. But unfortunately, that's... or maybe fortunately, depending on how you feel about... citizens' rights. Maybe that's best that we don't do it that way.
They won't change the station for you
when you get arrested. In the squad car?
Hey, different channel, different station. How about some light rock?
I'd be a little bit more worried about being arrested for driving on the shoulder of the road and getting out of that than I would be compounding my problems by suing because you had to listen to Rush for 10 minutes. Yeah. But he has to love this, too.
Of course.
The best.
It would be the best. Hungarian police have raided the set of a Brad Pitt movie. He's making a zombie movie in Hungary. And yesterday, a SWAT team seized the weapons that were being used on the set of World War Z.
Oh, that's a movie a lot of people are looking forward to. Wow. Okay.
Brad's producing the movie, and a source told Us Weekly that he's very upset because it's already behind schedule and you know, spent too much money over budget. The weapons were seized because the paperwork claimed that the weapons were non-functional, that they were, you know, set pieces.
Props.
Right.
Turns out that were actually working guns, which are illegal. And so the SWAT team came in and got them.
Oh, my gosh.
That's no good.
How about that?
That's no good.
That seems bad if you're making a movie and you've got fully functional automatic weapons. They say they're highly illegal to transport.
Well,
so they raided his movie set.
I think they have a point, by the way.
They probably do, but
I think you kind of want to kind of keep track on maybe what kind of functional weapons are coming into your country.
I think so, too. But don't you get the idea, like, at some point along the way, somebody goes, hey, this is Brad Pitt. Like, he's one of the most famous people in the world. You go, hey, why don't you take the pin out of those guns or whatever it is.
Let's just have a little conversation with Brad.
Right.
How about that?
Instead of the SWAT team. Right.
But it's hungry, so who knows?
Yeah.
Today's Tuesday. That means new releases available for download and in stores. A lot of good things to choose from. I can't wait to see, because I missed it in theaters, The Tree of Life is finally out on DVD. Speaking of Brad Pitt, that was one of the movies that he starred in earlier this year, made by the great director Terrence Malick. Can't wait to see that available today. Horrible Bosses is out on DVD today. I missed that one in theaters, too, with Kevin Spacey and Jennifer Aniston. Kevin, you'll be happy to know, Zookeeper, you can own it. It's yours.
Yes.
Also, Green Lantern is out this week. Not today. That one doesn't come out until Friday. And the kids' movie Judy Moody and the Not Bummer Summer, also available on DVD today. TV shows, the complete sixth season of Bones, also the complete fourth season of Chuck, available today. Gunsmoke and Bonanza are continuing to release on DVD.
What?
I don't know what the audience is for people going out and buying Bonanza at this point.
What's the rush?
But I guess it's good that it's available. And season six of Ghost Hunters. Season six, part two. Of Ghost Hunters. New music today. This is always my favorite list to look at every week. The new one from Ryan Adams comes out today called Ashes in Fire. You guys remember Evanescence?
Mm-hmm.
They're back. Got a new record out today.
That's them.
Another band I like a lot, the Five Finger Death Punch, has a new album out today. Bjork is back with a new one called Biophilia today.
Oh, Bjork.
There's a new best of album from Ben Folds. Speaking of, what's he on? He's not on The Voice. He's on the Sing-Off, I guess. He's one of the judges on the Sing-Off. Very good musician on his end. Radiohead has their remix album out today. All the remixes that have been collected that have been put out on 12-inch around the world, 19 different remixes from their Kings of Limbs album out available on a new remix CD today. Peter Gabriel has a new album out today where he is reimagining some of his old songs with orchestras and... William Shatner, Seeking Major Tom, is the big release of the week, and Bill will be in here later on today talking about it.
It's one of the tracks from that album.
Mama.
Queen.
Just killed a man.
Oh, I can't wait.
Put a gun against his head. Pulled my trigger. Now he's dead.
Oh, I can't wait.
Mama.
Listen to the pain.
Life had just begun. But now I've gone and thrown it all away.
Come on.
That might be my favorite song of 2011 so far, by the way. Bill will be in a couple of hours. Today's celebrity birthday is actor Luke Perry, perhaps still best known for Beverly Hills 90210, is 46 years old today. Singer Daryl Hall of Hall & Oates is 65. Actress Joan Cusack is 49. Jane Krakowski from 30 Rock turns 43 today. Speaking of Bones, Emily Deschanel turns 35 today. Michelle Trachtenberg, probably best known from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, is also on The Weeds this season.
Yep.
She is 26 years old today. And phenomenal golfer and hottie Asian Michelle Wee turns 22. And that is your show. It's Foster the People right there on the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know if you guys saw them on Saturday Night Live. They were the musical guests this past weekend on SNL with Ben Stiller as the host. And for the second song they did, they had a special musical guest come out and join them and perform with them on SNL, which I thought was kind of neat.
Weird Al?
Close. Kenny G.
Kenny G?
No kidding.
Yes. Kenny G.
Interesting choice.
That's the guy. Yes. Kenny G came out and performed with Foster the People. So that actually happen. We're going to tell you how to win your tickets for Breakfast with Coldplay coming up here in about 5 minutes. First, though, UFC. Another great weekend, another great fight.
And I've said this, good fights.
Yeah, exactly. And I've said this every time we have the president on, Dana White. I always say, I'm so impressed with your sport for so many reasons, but mostly because the level of talent that you have, the number of marquee names, the number of can't-miss fights, the number of superstars in the sport is pretty remarkable, I think.
I agree. And here we got a few highlights from the UFC on Saturday, which was just the most amazing thing ever. The first one that we have is Chael Sonnen, who is he crazy. This dude is crazy.
In what way?
He's crazy. I'll okay. play you a clip of
in
how crazy.
In the crazy way?
In the crazy way, yeah. Anderson Silva, you've heard that name,
oh, yeah.
is considered the best fighter in the world, pound for pound, blah, blah, blah. He's been the title holder for a long time. Well, Chael Sonnen almost beat him, but then got beat just right at the very end, and he's having trouble accepting it. So after he wins the fight on Saturday night, Anderson Silva, who's sitting in the audience, he takes the microphone from Joe Rogan and calls him out. And pretty much lays down an ultimatum.
All right, I'm here with Chael Sonnen. Chael, first of all, congratulations on a dominant performance.
Anderson Silva, you absolutely suck.
Now, Joe didn't ask him about Anderson Silva. He didn't ask him. He didn't say, hey, what do you think about fighting Anderson Silva? He just took the microphone and pointed at him and was yelling at him.
I'm calling you out, Silva, but we're up in the stakes. I beat you. You leave the division. You beat me. I will leave the UFC forever.
Now, I know that that sounds like the old WWE days.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
But he crazy.
Yeah.
And do you believe him?
Yes. I do. That's the difference, is that this guy is legitimately crazy.
But he knows that Silva wouldn't do that.
Probably. He probably does.
He's crazy like a fox.
He's crazy like a fox.
Yeah.
Then there was a fight with Leonard Garcia and Nam Phan. And these guys, neither of whom could play defense. They were just hammering on each other the entire fight. Joe Rogan was jumping up and down and yelling. And it was the most weird. It was probably the fight of the night for me.
10 seconds. How good was that?
That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
They are on their feet, sold out.
We're on our feet, too. We just stood up, both of us, clapping and cheering after this fight was over. I couldn't help myself.
It might have been the craziest fight I've ever seen in my life. You guys just went after it. That is what MMA is all about. Let me tell you something. This crowd loved it. I loved it. You guys are 1-1 right now. What do you say about another one?
How about that? You don't hear that every day.
No.
Hey, what do you say about another one? Nope. Don't they usually go, yeah, anytime.
Well, because it's a guaranteed payday if you can fight again, because people will want to see it.
By the way, the guy who won is the guy who said nope.
That's funny.
And then there was Gray Maynard and Frankie Edgar. This is the big match on Saturday night. They are lightweights, and they have fought twice. Once they tied. Once, I think Frankie Edgar won coming from behind. In the first round, Gray Maynard, who was the challenger, Frankie Edgar's the champion. Gray Maynard was destroying the winner, the belt holder. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, there's no possible way this fight goes this way.
Maynard, an All-American at Michigan State, college roommate of Rashad Evans.
Oh, he got hurt. Oh, that rocked
he got hurt bad.
Big uppercut by Gray Maynard. And again with the uppercut.
He had a big knee.
Maynard, trying to tee off here early.
Frankie's nose is broken.
Again he gets rocked.
Big left hook by Maynard.
And again with the right hand. Should we say it again? What is keeping Frankie Edgar standing?
All right, so that was the first round.
He broke his nose?
In the first round.
Oh, my God.
Dude. Yeah. And just somehow, every single punch should have knocked him out.
Oh.
And he hit him probably 5 times, and the guy would not fall down. Second round, third guy goes by. He kind of gets back into it, and then this is the fourth round.
Oh, he hurt him. Uppercut by Edgar. Edgar looking for the finish. Maynard's in trouble. He's in it. It's all over.
Unbelievable.
Frankie Edgar remains the lightweight champion.
Wow.
That, my friends, is closure.
Wow.
That was
was...
I love Joe. Wow.
So the guy that was getting just destroyed in the first round won the fight.
Unbelievable.
Which is crazy. How do you not like that sport?
It's awesome. How? These guys train so hard in so many disciplines.
They're black belts in jujitsu and in boxing.
It's
and
unbelievable
just every,
the kind of athlete they
it
are.
It really is. And we had Andrew Siciliano, a sports guy, on, and he was telling us about why he doesn't... This was shocking yesterday. Not a fan of the UFC.
He loves sports, hates the UFC.
So here's a little bit of him talking about that.
You have been long outspoken about your, not even dislike, but disinterest in the UFC.
It's dislike and dislike.
And I don't know why, because as a man who appreciates great athleticism,
sure,
you'd be hard-pressed to find better athletes than some of these guys that are fighting these days.
At the top level, sure. Those FSN ones at 3 in the morning with the fat guys. Yeah. You know, fighting at Dairy Queens
Fat
in Milwaukee. Those ones are bad. Let me preface this by saying I work for DirecTV, and I ask all of you to order every UFC fight five times.
Having said
on pay per view on DirecTV.
Why are you a bad person and you do not order it?
I just think it's garbage.
What are you talking
about?
I'll
tell you why. It's a bar fight.
So you didn't see this weekend's fights?
I don't even know who fought.
Oh, you're a bad human.
And honest to God, if you told me who fought and Frankie put their faces up on the wall, I couldn't match the name
with
the face.
Okay, but that's not... You shouldn't be proud of that.
No, I am proud of it.
Okay.
I am.
All right. So that went on, and he went on to say he just thinks it's like a bar fight.
You couldn't budge him on it at all.
No.
Nope.
No, he's decided.
I tried, you know, I'm not the guy to really change anyone's mind. I'm not exactly a debater.
But this is also like, Kevin, this is a great analogy, I think. You love soccer.
Yes.
And you run into people all the time who just have no appetite for it all, just can't get it, don't understand it, don't like it, don't want to have anything to do with it, don't think it's any good. And there's nothing you can say about what a wonderful sport it is to convince them otherwise.
But I don't even try, because most of those people have watched it and just aren't interested.
Yeah.
He hasn't watched it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he's into boxing. By the way, he's into boxing. What?
How do you call that a bar fight? Like, these people are just slugging away with no discipline.
Well,
That's not true.
I think, if I had to guess, I think it's because they don't wear boxing gloves. They wear much, much smaller gloves.
Right.
So there's
they can hurt
a
each
decent
other a
amount
lot.
Of, you know, blood. But you can
right.
tap anytime you want as well. So I don't know. I'm not used to being on the right side of things. So usually I'm trying
Did
to
Did it
defend,
almost change your mind?
No. Usually I'm trying to defend soccer or something like that because I love it. But then I realize this is a worthless deal.
Yeah.
And hockey, same thing. But in this particular case, I think I was right. And I
think you got a lot of evidence on your side mm-hmm. after this weekend, especially. I'll
but
tell
I,
you, it's
I
a
didn't
strong
know
time.
What to do about that? I don't know how to handle that whole situation.
Well, we're still going to try to be friends with Andrew Siciliano.
Right.
It just
me.
May be tough.
You're done.
Not me.
All right, let's move on. One more thing real quick. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Thanks so much for tuning in. Next Tuesday, do I have the date right? Is it a week from today? Is that right? I don't
yes,
want to say it if I'm
yes,
wrong.
Yes,
I think
it is
a week from today.
Yes.
We are going to be invaded by a bunch of pasty Brits. We're talking about Kevin Amin's Breakfast with Coldplay live from the new Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. You're going to be able to be in the audience with us. We just announced this yesterday, started giving away tickets. We are looking for Coldplay fans. This is, as usual, a tiny event. We don't have a million tickets to give away, so we're looking for Coldplay fans. And I think we've got a mother effing montage. I think
we
that's
do.
The way we're going to do it this hour, right?
Yep. We're going to play a montage. You have to tell us. We're going to give you this clue. There are six songs in the montage.
Okay.
They're all, of course, Coldplay songs. So you have to tell us what songs they are and in what order. We'll play it for you twice, then we'll take a break and come back and take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Here's the montage. There you go.
I got one!
You're going to need all of them, though. You need all six and in order. One more time, then call 1-800-520-1067. And by the way, Bean, I'm with you. I would never win this contest.
Right.
Never, ever. All right. That's it. If you know, call, and we'll put you into the drawing to get into the breakfast with...
Got a lot of Kevin and Bean Show coming up here today, including the great William Shatner stopping by. Brand new book, brand new album to discuss. Also, it's been a long time, but Sarah Michelle Gellar back on the program today. I'm really liking her new show, Ringer, on CW. We'll talk to her about that. And This Week in Rage, Adam Carolla, later today on the Kevin and Bean Show. No sound effects, Lisa? You're slipping.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. I want to make sure people know who we're talking about.
We're also having breakfast with Coldplay. We made this announcement yesterday. Giant band, small place. You get to just basically come down with, you know, we usually have 50 to 100 people. And so you are, I don't know, 20 feet from the band at all times.
It's really amazing. Every time we do it, I kind of pinch myself about how lucky I am to be
it's
there.
Very, very cool. And Some of you will get a chance to ask questions of the band. So if you have good questions, we'll have you write them down on a card. Then we'll go through them, and Bean will go, nope, 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 nope. And then we pick a few, and then we have you ask. But we're going to give away some tickets right now, and we're going to give away some tickets a little bit later on today. So keep listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for another chance. But first, let's go to Tiffany. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi.
Oh, I forgot to mention, this is live from the new Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock.
Yeah,
so we've
right
actually
here.
Built a really amazing place. Our mics don't work, but we've got an amazing place to have this breakfast.
So, Tiff, tell me about you and Coldplay. What's the deal?
Well, they're like one of my favorite bands, and I've seen them once when I won tickets from you guys, but it was probably the most amazing concert I've ever been to, even though they're my second favorite band, so... I just love them, and I think it'd be great to be there.
They are one of those bands. Most bands try their best to sound as good as the CD. Most bands. But some bands actually outdo the CD, and I think this is one of those bands that actually is better live than listening to their songs on CD.
I think I agree. Hey, before we play the montage, give you a chance to name all five, or six, rather, Coldplay songs in order. How long has that smoke detector battery been dead at your house?
Are you hearing a chirp?
I'm hearing the chirp. Am I hearing a chirp, Tiffany?
No, I'm in my room. I'm just sick.
All right. You're just sick. Okay. That explains it.
All right. Sorry.
I'm going to play the montage for you.
Okay.
And then you're, that's
there.
There
it
right
is. Again.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Or do you have a cricket? What's going on?
No, listen, you
it
need
might
to.
Be crickets. I don't know. My brother's in my room. It might be them. I don't know.
It's not them. Listen to me. Check. Never mind. All right. Here's the montage, and then you tell us the songs. All right. I got Fix You. That's it. That's all I have.
All right. Let's hear it, Tiffany.
Okay. So it's Clocks, Every Teardrop is a Waterfall, Fix You, Trouble, Yellow, Hawk.
How did she do it?
Yeah.
How did she do it?
Yeah.
I really don't know. I've never understood how people get that. But you did, and you won, and you're coming to our breakfast next Tuesday.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much.
Congratulations. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on Tuesday, okay?
Okay.
All right. We got more tickets coming up a little bit later on this morning on The Kevin and Bean.
You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Coming up after the Showbiz Beat, we're going to be taking your phone calls if you ever had a premonition in a dream that came true. You dreamt it. You woke up. It happened. Got a couple of stories to tell you about in the news, but we want to hear from you coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, let's talk about Hank Williams Jr.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have predicted if you'd have come to me a week ago and said, you guys are going to be all over Hank Williams Jr. It's really not the kind of artist that we normally cover. He is a legendary country music figure. He's been a big, big star in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Not so much anymore. His hits have kind of dried up, but most people know him now because he's the Are You Ready for Some Football guy.
Oh,
He had that says Monday Night Football. When you hear All My Rowdy Friends Are Coming Over Tonight, which is a song that he adapts every week, he goes in and changes some lyrics around depending on who's playing. That's what says Monday Night Football. Well, he got fired from that job, I'm sure you've heard by now, because he was doing an interview on a show called Fox and Friends about a week ago and made some, controversial topics. We're going to tell you what's new in the story and hear what he's done now after you hear a little bit of that interview from last week.
You mean when John Boehner played golf with President Obama?
So Hank Williams Jr. is all fired up because President Obama went golfing with the Speaker of the House to try to find some common ground on all the big issues going on in Washington right now.
Leading and Hank Williams Democrat, Jr. was, leading Republican. Right.
Right. Hank Williams Jr. furious about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Biden and Kasich, yeah. Uh-huh.
What did you not like about it? It seems to be a really pivotal moment for you.
Come on. It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu. Okay?
All right. So the hosts can't distance themselves fast enough from that comment.
And these are the hosts on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Who, let's face it, are Republican-leaning quite heavily.
Yeah, but there's one thing to be Republican leaning. It's one thing to be critical of the president. It's another thing throw Hitler in the mix. And that's where they drew the line. And that's where ESPN drew the line, too, because they promptly fired Hank Williams Jr. from that job. And they're not using that song anymore to open up Monday Night Football. So he out. And that had to be a pretty healthy piece of change for him every year, right?
I would imagine. I mean, that's crazy high profile and everything else. Yep. They showed him every year, every week, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Last
Absolutely.
Night they had Barry Sanders, who, of course, is a famous Detroit Lion, and this is a little bit of that.
Detroit soul isn't in the streets of the city.
Oh, yeah.
It's in the hearts of the people.
So they replaced it with like a little montage thing where he talks
that
and there's highlights.
Sound good.
That's not Are You Ready for Some Football?
It's not Are You Ready for Some Football.
No.
And I would imagine, I mean, Hank hasn't had a hit in like 20 years in country radio. So I would imagine this at least kept him contemporary, kept him in front of people, probably sold a lot of concert tickets having him on TV every Monday night. People go, yeah. Oh, Hank Weavers Jr., I like that dude. I'll go see him. Well, he got pretty ticked off. First of all, he went on his website last week and said that his First Amendment rights were being squashed because clearly he doesn't understand what the First Amendment means because nobody was stopping him from saying what he wanted to say, just that, hey, there are consequences sometimes when you say what you want to say.
If you say what you want to say, which is legal, they can say what they want to say, which is also legal.
Exactly. So he apparently woke up at 4:30 in the morning last Friday and had the idea that he was going to take a song that he had already written that was critical of President Obama. For the election in 2008, and he was going to add some verses to it to kind of update it and reflect this current controversy. So he went into a studio that day, had finished recording it and mastering it on Monday, and now it's been released. Now it's available on iTunes and on his website if you want to listen to it.
The song is called The Change, and the lyric
keep
is,
the change.
I'll keep the USA and y'all can keep the change. Remember everybody was saying change is important, change, change, change. Well, he's saying I'll keep the USA, you can keep the change. So then he wrote this about Fox and Friends.
So, Fox and Friends, wanna put me down, ask for my opinion, then...
Now, right there, by the way, odd. Why would you ask for his opinion in the first place? Honestly.
Well, it was weird. He was on, as I understand it, to promote some new music by his father that's just been put out on a new box set. That's why they asked him on. But they never even got to that, as far as I know, because they started off by saying, hey, Hank, who do you like in the election this year? And he said, nobody. And then they started the whole discussion about politics. It kind of derailed the whole interview.
So Fox, come on, they ask him for his opinion.
Then twist it all. Supposed to be talking about my father's new CD. Well, two can play that gotcha game. Just wait and see. Don't tread on me. This country sure as hell been going down the drain. We know what we need. We know who to blame.
You know what I like about this kind of music is it's super just peppy and happy. And there's people playing, you know, what do they call it? Harmonica. They're all clapping along. And what he's saying is everything's going to hell. It's really weird.
What does he mean when he says, well, two can play that gotcha game, just wait and see? What?
He's
wait and see for
turn
what?
It around on them when he twists what they say.
What they say? Is that what he's saying?
United Socialist States of America.
No!
Don't you just love that name? The USA and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep the USA and y'all can keep the change. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can keep Fox and Friends and ESPN out of your homes, too.
Wait, hold on. I don't want to do that.
Because Bo Cephas and all his rowdy friends and his song is...
Wait, who's Bo Cephas?
He is.
That's his nickname is Bo Cephas.
Really?
Yeah.
So why, I mean, does he think that people are going to take his side, that ESPN made a mistake in firing him and they're not going to want ESPN on their cable anymore?
It sounds like.
That they're going to give up sports?
It sounds,
for Hank?
Sounds like he expects his fans to do that.
Yes, sir. Oh.
Sorry, I think ESPN 1, Hank Williams Jr. 0 is what I think here.
I agree.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
K-Rock is K-R-O-Q and it's 6:53.
Lister wrote in that new Hank Williams Jr. song is like the country version of Trapped in the Closet. It's just unbelievably
it
bad.
It is just about bad enough to be good. That's true.
It is. That's right. All right. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Ralph Garman, unfortunately, not able to join us today. A little bit under the weather. Can't wait for him to come back tomorrow so we can discuss his groundbreaking new role as Bobby on last night's episode of House.
He's Bobby.
I hope there's going to be some sort of a spinoff, but we'll have to save that conversation for tomorrow. I'll give you guys a chance to watch it since you DVR'd it from last night.
Okay.
First, though, we're filling in on the Showbiz Beat. Courtney Love is Magic. We've been lucky enough to have her on the show many times over the years. We've done a breakfast where I saw entirely too much of her anatomy. But she's been given a bunch of interviews lately. She's been kind of quiet for a while. I haven't seen much from Courtney lately. But she has two separate interviews that are going around right now that are fascinating. Because you know how she is, Kevin. When she speaks,
yeah,
it's always magic, right?
Well, there's no filter. There's no, hey, PR-wise, maybe I shouldn't say this because I'm a celebrity, blah, blah, blah. She never thinks that way. If it comes to her mind, she says it.
One interview is with the new episode, a new issue, rather, of Vanity Fair, where she's talking about how angry she still is that she lost her husband to suicide. Understandable. But here's what she has to say about Kurt Cobain. If he came back right now, I'd have to kill him for what he did to us. I'd effing kill him.
Yeah.
I'd F him. And then I'd kill him.
Oh, I see. So it's a two-parter.
That's funny.
So at least she'd have sex with him first, but then she'd kill him. He OD'd at least five times. I was the effing EMS. I was always sticking pins in his balls. And I don't know, is that some sort of way to revive drug addicts when they overdose? I would carry around Narcan, which I assume must be something that you give to addicts when they're ODing.
Oh,
but
wow.
You give them to them in your testicles?
No,
is that a thing?
Does that make things better or worse?
I don't know. I would be like, I want to die rather than have this crazy woman sticking pins in me. She also goes into detail about how her identity was stolen and thieves stole millions of dollars from her. She also talks about her strange and strained relationship with her daughter, Frances Bean.
Yeah.
She says, it was my fault. I never read to her, which is why her daughter was unable to read until the age of 7, she says in the Vanity Fair article.
Sweet.
Now, aren't you in school a couple of years by time you're 7?
Yeah, I think usually about 4 or 5 is kindergarten.
Yeah, you start reading when you're about like 2 or 3, right?
Yeah.
You start looking at the little picture books with the farm animals, right?
I'm still at that level, but.
She says that was one of my many parenting mistakes. Of course, her daughter is famously emancipated from her, now is 18. She also says, why didn't I ever take her to a Broadway show? She effing loved those Broadway musicals.
Well, what's wrong with her? It's not like she's having trouble figuring her out. She knows she loves it. Go ahead and take her.
And then, if you'll permit me, one other piece of Courtney Love news that's due today. In an interview that she did on the golden age of music video history, she's talking about the first time she had sex with Kurt Cobain. Listen to this.
Do I want
to? She says, the first time Kurt and I slept together was at a Days Inn in Chicago. We were having our first postcodal moment, and we were watching MTV when his video, Smells Like Teen Spirit, came on. I pulled away from him because it was his video. It was his moment. He was the king of the effing world. He put his arm around me, pulled me closer, which was symbolic, like I'm letting you into my life. That really endeared him to me. So that's a sweet moment.
It is.
She also says that the night that Frances Bean Cobain was conceived, she went to the show intending on having sex with Billy Corgan of Smashing Pumpkins and did not realize that Nirvana was also on the bill. So I assume that they must have gotten pregnant with Frances pretty darn near the very beginning of their relationship where they started dating. She went to the show to have sex with Billy Corgan, ended up going back to the hotel with Kurt instead. They were married 2 months later when she was already pregnant with their child.
Wow.
So it's fascinating and impossible to turn away from, but she's the best and she's crazy.
Billy Corgan dodged a bullet.
Yes, he did.
I have got to get into polo. I realize this now.
Okay.
Polo? Did you
guys, unusual
you guys
choice?
Do you guys know anything about polo? Because I don't. I know you're on horses.
That's all I know.
And they play.
You have a mallet or something?
Yeah, you have a
mallet. You hit a ball or something?
I didn't realize I needed to be into it, but apparently that's the sport that I need to be into now. According to a website called twofab.com, in Malibu, there was a polo match, and Rachel Zoe.
Okay, who's hideous.
Brought her sudden husband and forced him to wear matching outfits. First of all, don't ever do that.
What did I tell you? She's hideous.
Who else was there? Selma Blair, Lauren Conrad, Zoe Saldana, Ali Lauder.
Wow.
And Sofia Vergara.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
Who knew I was into polo?
I didn't realize that's what polo was pulling these days.
I didn't either. In what world is polo the sport they're going to?
I don't know, but I think it's it tends to be the wealthier set that plays polo.
But they're hot.
They keep their own horses.
Yeah, I guess so, right?
Yeah. Mm.
And maybe this is what they're doing instead of the NBA?
Could be.
I don't know.
It's a good replacement. David Boreanaz in the news. Of course, the star of Angel and now Bones. He and his wife have been married for 9 years, I want to say.
Yeah,
10 years.
Right.
10 years they've been married. They have two children together. She's a former Playboy playmate. What has kept their relationship going strong? Why are they doing better now than ever before? He says in an interview with TV Week that it was because he had an affair last year with Rachel Uchitel. Remember her from Celebrity Rehab?
Really?
And she was one of Tiger Woods' mistresses. He said that in a sacred ground like marriage, you find yourself out of it at certain times for reasons unknown that can be destructive. There could be a demon that kind of comes and overtakes you, but they worked it out, got closer than ever before, and now their relationship is going gangbusters.
What?
So I am going to try this.
I don't think you could pull this off.
I find myself in a safe place later on today, I'm going to pitch to Mrs. Bean, hey, you see what worked so well for their marriage?
What, you're going to pitch it ahead of time?
I'm going to pitch it ahead of time and say,
no.
Seriously, I know on the surface this looks like a bad idea, but it's going to be good for us in the long run because that guy on TV said it would.
She's way given up on your relationship a long time
ago. Well, that's possible too.
Tyra Banks, New York Times bestseller list.
Number What's up two, with that?
Number two. Number
Stop
two
it.
On the New York Times bestseller list
Put
is a
words.
Is a book by Tyra Banks.
Back in your mouth.
Now, we all know that
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Tyra is a whore, a big fucking whore.
She says it's a children's book.
All right.
What?
And it's called Model Land.
For children?
Yep.
Oh, it's gonna that's be, nice.
Hey, kids, don't eat.
Exactly.
Chapter 2. So that's happening.
Crap.
She's a best-selling author, is what you're saying.
I'm saying that, yeah.
What? Today's celebrity birthdays. Harry Connick Jr. turns 44 today. Used to be more famous as a musician. I think maybe these days more famous as an actor. Isn't he in that Dolphin Tale, that big smash hit movie that's out right now with Morgan Freeman? I think Harry Connick Jr. stars in.
Right.
Daryl Hall of the legendary Hall & Oates turns 65 today. Actress Joan Cusack is 49. Jane Krakowski from 30 Rock turns 43. Speaking of David Boreanaz, his co-star in Bones, Emily Deschanel, is 35 years old today. Michelle Trachtenberg of Buffy and now Weeds turns 26 today. Great actor David Morris from St. Elsewhere originally. Man, he won an Emmy for House a couple of seasons ago as one of the best guest starring roles ever. He's awesome. He's 58 years old today. Luke Perry from Beverly Hills 90210 is 46, and that is your show. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show with William Shatner coming up next hour, Sarah Michelle Gellar later this hour, and the great Adam Carolla joining us, too, for This Week in Rage. That is all straight ahead. We were talking, I think, on the air yesterday, maybe, about former bass player for Weezer, Mikey
yes.
Welsh, who passed away, unfortunately, in a hotel room over the weekend in Chicago. And a lot of people have made the connection that he tweeted about having a dream about dying in a Chicago hotel room in 2 weeks. Which is kind of bizarre. If he died of natural causes and he foreshadowed and foresaw his own death, I guess the investigation is still going underway, and he may have had more to do with it than just falling asleep.
That's my fear, is that it's not a
committed
dream
suicide.
As much as it is just saying he's going to commit suicide, but we don't know.
Yeah.
So that kind of got us on the topic of people who have premonitions while they're sleeping. They have a dream, and then they wake up and they find out, maybe not the next day, but they find out soon that whatever they dreamt about happened. And Lisa pipes up, like she do, and says, hey, boys, up here, eyes are up here, stop looking. And then she brought up what I thought was an interesting story that we may want to bring onto the air here and invite our listeners to weigh in with their own as well.
Well, I figured that most of the dreams that we would have would involve ourselves. Like,
right.
I'm going to be doing something in the future, whatever. But this one is not that way. We have Gary on the phone. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Kevin and Bean.
How are you?
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Gary.
Oh, hey.
Gary, I have to ask this before we hear about the dream. Is Lisa everything we would imagine in the bedroom?
Oh, and more.
It strikes me as Lisa would not disappoint. All right, so she brought up your name on this topic about dreams that come true. What happened?
Well, in 1986, when the Challenger space shuttle was about to blast off, 2 weeks before that, I had a dream that was almost eerily similar. I mean, to every point, it was the Challenger blowing up.
Now, you didn't have anything to do with the Challenger. You weren't working for NASA, nothing. And you had this weird dream about this particular shuttle blowing up?
Well, a shuttle blowing up.
Okay.
I didn't know it was the Challenger. The Columbia had just landed, and I woke up and I thought, Well, I know that that didn't happen because it just landed. Little did I know, 3 weeks later, the Challenger blasted off and then blew up.
Wow. So you had this came to you in a dream? You woke up remembering that you had dreamt it the night before?
It was right before I woke up, and it was a dream, and it was so specific that I before they even said how it happened, I knew how it happened because I saw it.
Okay. Dude.
All right, dude.
So did you tell anybody, and if so, did they think you were crazy?
I woke up, and I told my ex-wife, and she said, well, you're just trying to cover your ass in case the next one blows up.
Nice. Well, that would be my response as well. It's like people right. who predict earthquakes. All right, whatever. You can predict
them
every
day.
Of
course, there will be one sometime.
One day there'll be an earthquake. Right, exactly. So what was it like for you that day when the space shuttle went up? And, I mean, were you just filled with dread because you were afraid that what you had dreamt was going to come true?
No, I actually never even gave it any thought. I had dismissed it 3 weeks earlier as just another dream. And I was going into a trial advocacy class. I was in law school at the time. And none of the teachers showed up for the class. And we waited there for 20 minutes. And then the teacher walked into the class and said, sorry that we're late, but the Challenger just blew up after taking off. And I felt like I was going to fall over.
Did the authorities rush in and arrest you immediately?
Yes, absolutely.
So, and not to get too graphic, because we don't really want to do that on this show, but you dreamt certain details that most of the public don't know.
Yeah, can you tell that part?
And it really happened that way?
Well, that was actually a second dream. This has only happened to me twice, and the first dream was about technically how the shuttle actually exploded. And the second dream was 2 years later, and I was looking at the debris field at the bottom of the ocean, and I saw all of the scattering of the parts, including the chairs that some of the torsos of the astronauts were in.
And we're still in it. At the bottom of the ocean.
What's that?
Yes. They were still in at the bottom of the ocean?
At the bottom of the ocean.
Okay, now I didn't see that report anywhere.
No, because I went in and I told my then boss, and after I got finished with the story, his face went completely lax, and he said his uncle was in charge of the reclamation project, and that's exactly what they found, and it was completely classified, and
Dude.
They never wanted that information to get out.
Dude.
That's so creepy, right?
That is creepy. What do you think? These are the only two times it's ever happened, and they both involve the space shuttle. What do you think your connection is with that event?
Well, my dad was an engineer for the Apollo and the space shuttle project, and he passed away 5 years before that. The Challenger. That's my connection with the space program. I mean, as tenuous as that is, but I mean, no other connection whatsoever.
Huh.
All right, let me ask you this, Gary, and we're going to take your calls, Kevin and Bean listeners, at 1-800-520-1067. If you have ever had a dream that turned out to be a premonition, what you dreamt came true. Since this has happened to you, it makes a great story at parties, but do you wish it had never happened?
Good question.
You know, the second dream was kind of creepy, and I'd rather, I don't like to relive that, what I believe that I saw.
Right.
The first dream, although a tragedy, I mean, was just it's just weird and kind of interesting. I'm not a big believer in all of this kind of stuff.
Well, there are a lot of whack jobs that come out of the know when you start talking about stuff like this.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theorists and whatever.
Okay, you caught me. I'm a whack job.
That's what I thought.
All right. Last question. How much would we have to pay you to put some sort of a hidden camera in the bedroom? I mean, seriously, we would pay great amounts of dollars if we could get some of this action on tape.
I will make it more worth your while if you don't.
Oh, come
then
on.
You know
that's
I'm
not
saying.
Unfair. Unfair.
Everyone's
right.
got their price.
Yeah, exactly. Gary, we'll talk to you about this off the air then. I think we can work on a deal.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for speaking with us
Thank
today.
You.
We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
That's crazy. By the way, it's weird. It's weird that we're talking about the Challenger. You know, the reason the 1985 Chicago Bears went to the White House this week is because they never got their White House visit because the Challenger blew up. And they never rescheduled it. They were supposed to go the next day, and they canceled it because of the Challenger blew up. They went this week. It's just so weird all of a sudden to have all these Challenger references this far after the event. But we're going to take your calls.
What information?
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You dreamt it, and it turned out to be true. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin. Right now, we are talking about premonitions, dreams that come true. 1-800-520-1067. Lily writes in, a few years ago, my mom dreamt that her brother Chewy had passed away. She had this dream three nights in a row. On the fourth day, she got a call that Chewy had passed away.
What? See, that's weird.
Yeah. That is weird, yeah. Although, if you dream it every single night, then all you have to do is just keep dreaming. Eventually, it's going to come true, I'm just saying.
Not necessarily.
Well, I guess eventually, yeah. So we're taking your calls right now. Why don't we start with let's start with Natalie on line one. And by the way, I'm sensing a theme here between Lisa's man Gary, between Lily who wrote in, and now we're going to Natalie here. Does anyone ever dream anything good? Are there any ever fun dreams that come true?
I guess we don't remember those.
Yeah. We're asking for anything, any kind of a dream that came true. Natalie, what happened to you, my dear?
Oh, hey, guys. Well, actually, when I was in high school, I had the craziest dream about Columbine the night before it happened.
Oh.
So it was terrible.
Wait. Was it just a student going to school and shooting it up, or was it Columbine?
No. It was actually Columbine that I was in the school. There were people running around, frantic, screaming, trying to get out. I was trying to get out. People were running through the hall, shooting it up in trench coats. It was the scariest dream,
Where do you live?
I live in California.
So
in California.
So you're nowhere near Columbine.
Nowhere near Columbine, but it was so terrifying, the dream, that I told everybody at school. So I went to school, told all my friends, I had the scariest dream. I woke up in a cold. I could not breathe. I was so scared. And I told them what happened. And that night on the news was the Columbine shooting had happened that day. And the following day at school, everybody was coming up to me saying, oh, my God, you had that dream. You told us all about that dream you had about Columbine. It was insane. It was. I was scared.
Can you hold on? We're going to need to hook you up with the FBI.
That is creepy. Natalie, did it ever happen again, or was that the only time you had a premonition like that?
I have premonitions frequently, but that was the only one that was nationwide news. Yeah. So it was. Yeah, so it was pretty crazy.
But this is creepy.
But you have smaller examples of the exact same thing where you have a dream and then it comes true?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're
definitely.
Weird.
Yeah, I know. It's just one of those things.
You need to be on that show on Sci-Fi Alphas.
There you go.
So we can see the future and all that stuff.
Thank you, Natalie. Let's try John. He's on line two, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about dreams that come true. Hi, John. Welcome.
Hi. How are you doing? Hi, Kevin and Bean, Lisa.
Hi, John.
Hey there. It was 2-3 weeks before 9/11. I dreamt of a plane crashing into a glass building.
Okay. Now, what was it like for you on the morning of September 11th when you saw that unfolding on your TV?
Oh, my God. I was crying, literally. I went into work. I had told people about the dream, and they were even scared to be around me.
So you told people at work before, right after you had the dream, and then nothing happened for a couple of weeks, and then 9/11 happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm firing your ass right now.
The thing is, I was the boss.
You're the boss. All right. Wow. I'm quitting right now.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. I'm surprised they would put a terrorist in command of a bunch of people. It's weird that they would let him be the boss. By the way, he was not only crying, ladies and gentlemen, he was crying literally. That's the worst kind.
That's true.
Let's try Kyle, line seven. And again, I ask, is there anyone who dreams anything good happening?
Yeah, I dreamt I had a threesome, and then all of a sudden I had a threesome.
Yeah, you can't believe it, Kevin. I dreamt the numbers and won the lottery. Where are those calls? All right, so far we've had Space Shuttle blowing up, we've had Columbine, we've had 9/11.
Good.
Kyle, what do you have for us?
Oh, my gosh, dude, I have the Japanese tsunami.
Okay, there we go.
How specific was it?
Not very. All I know is I had three dreams about tidal waves and tsunamis, and then about 3 weeks after the third dream, the Japanese tsunami hit, and it was really creepy.
In your dream, was there any kind of detail? I mean, could you tell, for instance, that it was in Japan or even in Asia?
No, it's just I have really vivid dreams, and I've never had reoccurring dreams.
Right.
And I have a buddy I told all three to. The first one was a really detailed flood. And then like, maybe a month later, I had another dream about a tidal wave. And then I had a third dream about an even bigger wave, like flooding, everything washed away. And then about 3 weeks later, the Japanese tsunami hit, and I was on G-Chat with my friend. I was like, hey, dude, remember those dreams I told you about? And he was like, yeah. And, like, that's all he wrote.
Yeah, I'm sure, because he doesn't want to be tracked down by the FBI as well as you.
I don't exactly. think you can make a tidal wave happen.
I don't
know if the FBI is coming after me for Japan.
All right. I hope not, man. I hope not. All right. Thank you very much for the call. I say we leave it there. I say
This is going to be a bit of a bummer. We were thinking it would be funny and fun. And
we got more death here. It's all death.
We don't need this.
What's up with that? Come on. One time you haven't dreamt of having sex with Scarlett Johansson and it came true? What's wrong with you people? Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. The captain is on the bridge. William Shatner is here. He'll be joining us in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Adam Carolla. First, though, Ringer, Tuesday nights on the CW at 9. Listen up.
My name is Bridget. I witnessed a murder.
Just get up on the stand and tell the judge what you saw. I'll protect you.
You don't get it. Bottaway wants me dead. I'm dead. I ran to my sister, Siobhan, for help.
Siobhan! Siobhan!
Siobhan killed herself, and I assumed her identity.
Let me tell you something about this Ringer show, Kevin. They got Sarah Michelle Gellar back on TV, beloved of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. They got her playing Bridget. The actress they found to play her sister, it's unbelievable how much they look. I mean, it's unbelievable how much these people look alike. It's like the perfect casting.
Also Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Well, we have one of them on the phone. I'm not sure which. Sarah, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I'm not sure which one I am this morning either.
Good. You know, it's so funny. When I saw you start to do press for, you know, right when Ringer was getting ready to debut, you saw the same.
I look like William Shatner?
No. Not really, no. But I saw the same thing from everyone that interviewed you, and I hate to be just like them, but we all said, welcome back. It seems like it's been a million years since you've been on television, and we're so happy to have you back.
Oh, thank you. That's really sweet. I'm happy to be back. It's amazing how you don't realize how much you miss something and how important it is. And then, you know, you come back and you're like, God, I love this. Why did I ever stop?
Did you stop after Buffy just because you'd done it for a long time and you were exhausted and just wanted something else?
I think I just needed some time. I was 18 when I started that show, and, you know, I was 24 when it was over. And, you know, you can't really appreciate, when you're 18 years old, you don't know how to appreciate something as amazing as that. And Now, in hindsight, I can, and I can be appreciative of my experience now in a different way.
And of course, obviously, you know, you've been busy. You not only have done, you know, movies here and there as your schedule permits, but getting married, having a family. I mean, it's not like you haven't had a, you know, full and exciting life, but it's nice to kind of get back to it, too. And if there's one thing you've learned after Buffy, it's really hard to make good television and it's really hard to make successful television. And I'm sure even at this point, you get your fingers crossed a few episodes in.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, the thing is about, I love television. I love watching television. I love being a part of it. And it's really fun to make a show that I would get into and that I would yell at my TV and that I still get excited when I see the scripts to sort of flip through. And it's, you know, it's different than Buffy, but still, you know, I think it's something the fans will like.
So you're convinced that your identical sister has killed herself, so you take over her life. I thought it was great.
Yeah, exactly.
As one does. And I thought it was great in the first episode you made your husband, your quote, her husband, coffee, and you go, is that normal? You're just trying to figure out what your sister's life was like, and it turns out it's not exactly what you thought it was.
I think that's true of, you know, any relationship. Is they always say you put, you know, 50 people in a room, and once you hear their problems, you want your own problems back.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the truth of this, is that, you know, wow, it seems great to have this life. And then you get into it and you're like, maybe I'd rather be being chased by the mob.
Yeah,
right.
A stripper with a drug problem.
I'm going to go back to that.
There are an awful lot of things that Ringer is doing well. And one of them is, first of all, her story is unraveling as it would in real life. You could only keep up this facade for so long. And I'm really impressed with how fast they're moving the story along and all the different realistic things that happen. Because it'd be pretty easy for a show like this to get crazy and fantastical, and you wouldn't believe it at a certain point.
You know, I really appreciate that. It was so important to us. You know, I love shows with suspense, but at the same time, you want answers to the questions. And when I read the script, the first thing I said is, okay, well, what happens in year two? And then they told me. And then they told me year three, and I thought, okay, they know what this is going to be. And
wow.
We've worked really hard to make sure that every episode has a big reveal, and that although questions get answered, we certainly will start more questions, but that you'll get the answers to some of these questions.
But
it's not all, you know.
Right.
I love Lost so much, but Lost, are you listening? Answers.
Without naming names.
No, without saying anyone.
No, let's say you're a TV fan, so you know where we're coming from, Sarah. A lot of people felt like they got burned by Lost because there were so many balls up in the air and there's no way that all that was going to get payoff. And it sounds like your writers have taken that into consideration, and that's not going to happen with your show.
Well, we know how much everyone hates balls in the air, so, you
that's
know.
True.
You
know,
she's got a point.
Yeah. It is. We have paid attention to that, and I understand that feeling, that frustration you get, and so we have those answers, and the audience will get them, but at the same time, you can catch up if you've missed some episodes. You won't make it impossible.
Do you really think your writers knew what happens in year two and three? Because I imagine there's no way. They must have just winged it.
If they winged it, man, they did a great
whatever
job.
Whatever we told her, she bought it.
All right, here's another question, Sarah. I know you've been asked a million times, but I am fascinated just from the perspective of having to be an actor and play so many different people on the show. Because, you know, you play yourself in flashbacks as both characters. You play yourself in present days as both characters. Do you have some sort of a ritual or something that you go through to kind of put yourself in the mindset of who you're going to be today?
Yeah, I ask everyone on set, who am I today?
Who am I?
what am I doing? You know, it takes a village. I'll tell you that much.
In other words, there's a lot of people keeping you on track to go, no, this is, you're playing the wrong sister right now. This is how she does it.
Oh, for sure. No. And it's funny, too, who speaks up. Like, all of a sudden, you'll get, like, a grip who you haven't heard from in a while. Like, but she's right-handed.
Wrong character. You know, like, right-handed.
Oh, but she wouldn't do that. And you're like, oh, yeah, right. Thanks. Good looking out.
Did you have any concerns that, because when you shoot shows like this, I mean, you're in every scene. Were you concerned about having to work too much?
Oh, yeah. I'm a lazy person like any good person would be. You know, yeah. I don't want to work too hard. We work really hard on the schedule and to make it sort of work for everybody and not just me. Because, you know, look, the whole crew has families. And it's great to be the star and the executive producer and for me to get to go home. But I want everybody to go home. Because when everybody gets to have a life, then everybody likes being at work.
Well, Ringer is the show. It airs Tuesday nights at 9 on the CW. Its first episode, if I remember correctly, and I don't have it in front of me, I think was the highest rated new show in, you know, history on CW or something like that. I mean, people were crazy for you to get back on TV, and I know it's doing really, really well for you. And it's not too late for people to get into the show still. You do a nice job of recapping it at the beginning of the episodes and stuff, and it really is a edge-of-your-seat type episode. I think people were really going to like this, Sarah. I'm glad that you're helping get the word out today.
Well, you're awesome, and thanks for helping us.
You bet, man. Always a pleasure. Good luck with the show. Ringer, Tuesday nights at 9 on CW. Thank you, Sarah.
Bye.
I think I'm strong as a horse, right?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 7:53. Ralph Garman is out today, quote-unquote, sick.
He's sick. What's wrong with you?
Dude.
We're filling in every hour in the showbiz beat. This time it's producer Alex's. But Alex, I'm going to warn you now, make it snappy, because Bill Shatner's in the next room ready to come in.
You don't have to tell me. Bill and I were bonding earlier.
Okay.
I have a little crush on Bill. Is that okay?
Yeah, how can you not? Okay. He's a man's man. Women love him. Absolutely.
I think he's great.
Hey, stick around. He'll marry you eventually one day.
Hey. Oh, he's a lovely wife.
Just say it.
What's wrong with you?
All right. Amy Winehouse's father, Mitch Winehouse, is going to publish a book in 2012. He has made an agreement with HarperCollins to release Amy, My Daughter, in the summer 2012. The book will have recollections of Amy from her youngest years through her singing career all the way to her obvious and tragic substance abuse problems. No dollar signs have been made public. I can imagine they were in the seven figures at least, I would think, particularly for Europe.
But he's not like Lindsay Lohan's parents.
Not at all.
He's not going to tell all the bad stuff and none of the good stuff.
By all accounts, he isn't a Michael Lohan, and that everything he does is from a very sincere place, and that a large portion of the proceeds are all going to go to the Amy Winehouse Foundation, which he started to help troubled teens and young adults in their own addiction recovery. So that might be a good book to get. If your marriage is in trouble, do you go camping?
Never.
I am in a good relationship, and my idea of camping is the hotel. It's like the Viceroy. Like, that's my idea of camping.
You're saying I would stress out even people who are happy?
I don't need to spend time in nature with you. I might kill you. But apparently, Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore are now camping. They allegedly... I'm saying allegedly, large, bold letters here, have some marital issues. Apparently, if you go into a hot tub with six hot girls in San Diego on the weekend of your wedding anniversary, your wife frowns on that a little bit.
If she's uptight.
Yes, way uptight. So they recently celebrated their sixth anniversary. They had a big Kabbalah Yom Kippur party they attended in L.A. And then they went to a recreation area near Santa Barbara, California,
where they reportedly spent the weekend together camping. But they weren't alone. They brought their Kabbalah instructor.
All right.
His brother and their celebrity florist slash close friend. What? Which only happens in L.A.
That sounds terrible.
So now you're trying to save your marriage and you go with your brother, a florist, and a Kabbalah instructor. This is like the beginning of a joke.
Wow.
Do they all walk into a bar?
I wonder if the Kabbalah instructor is actually sort of a marital counselor.
Maybe.
Oh,
marriage
interesting. Counselor? Yeah,
and
maybe.
Do you talk to your brother about your issues with mom and then arrange some roses
and then
in the woods?
A pretty setting.
I don't know.
That's bizarre.
If you've got to do Outward Bound for your relationship,
maybe not worth it.
There's your sign.
And the other thing I'll say is when you deal with celebrities, particularly these two, they're very media savvy. I wonder if the reason we know about this is because that's part of the rehabilitation of their marital image a little bit. Because they could have easily gone someplace that we wouldn't have heard about, but they got seen.
Yeah. They were out making s'mores in public. There's a reason.
Yeah, I'll tell you, we could go where we wouldn't know about it is the woods. If you didn't tell us.
Hey, you guys want to date the Octomom?
Nope.
Not even a little bit.
She's single. She's on the prowl.
At what point do you break the, hey, I have 14 kids? Look, what do you throw that in?
I know everybody's got issues. That is a lot of baggage.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Well, she's dating. Entertainment Tonight has been chronicling her dates on the show Celebridate. I kid you not.
Oh, that's why. Okay, that's how she's able to get a date is because it's on a TV show.
She's probably getting paid. Some of her dates, the dates did not go well.
Really?
But these are the best quotes from the guys who went out with her. One said, quote, "She has a nice rack. I wish the next guy a lot of luck."
Wow.
Then her second date said, "She is one of the most interesting people I've ever met. Probably due to her Asperger syndrome or Tourette's."
Oh.
Asperger's or Tourette's.
Or. Either or.
One or the other. Those are very different.
Not a ringing endorsement.
No.
So anyway.
But you can tell.
Get ready, fellas.
By the way, her without kids, it doesn't seem like would be a good date.
But
I agree.
She has 14.
She's spazzy.
I never heard that she might have Asperger's. Have you guys heard that?
Mm-mm.
No.
No, but
Asperger's
is
serious, but unfortunately, because of its name, people think it's a disease to be made fun of.
That's true.
I'm going to claim her as one of Bean's people. Because I can see it, so I'm just going to say it so.
All right.
Is Beyonce actually pregnant?
What?
She's way pregnant.
She showed her stomach and all that. What?
According to BuzzFeed, if you go to BuzzFeed.com, they have a series of photos, four photos in a row, that show Beyonce with her big pregnant belly, and then she sits down and the belly inverts and goes away.
What?
Rumor has it Beyonce is wearing a fake prosthetic while her unknown surrogate carries her baby to term.
No, that's ludicrous.
Like, wait, ludicrous is the father? You're
like,
telling me.
Dude, remember the whole Katie Holmes thing? When that happened, all the conspiracies about her belly? The crazies are back out.
She's going to wear the fake pregnancy stomach until the baby is born and then claim it's hers, even though she's not pregnant.
I am merely spreading rumors because I find it fascinating.
All right.
But if you look at these screen caps, at these photos, which I will show Lisa,
all right,
the belly disappears.
It goes away.
It's freaky.
It turns out that doesn't happen in real life.
It folds flat over and her dress starts to get rolls in it.
Yeah, she's pregnant.
I'm telling you.
Oh, Bean. Don't you want to believe this? Because it's so ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Right.
It's awesome.
BuzzFeed.com. The other thing you should check out on BuzzFeed.com, which will make your eyes bleed.
Bean runs BuzzKill.com.
Is the full shots of Christina Aguilera at the Michael Jackson tribute concert.
Yeah, that's...
Yes. I don't have a big enough monitor. I can't see those pictures on my monitor. It's too small.
Did she eat CeeLo and Carson Daly?
You're fat. You're getting fatter. It's amazing.
But at least she's getting super trashy. Like, she's just been up all night in Vegas with the girl. Just, like, hot mess.
She does look like she's been up for four straight days.
Wow! Take a nap, girl.
And...
Ugh, look at how fat you are. You disgust me. Oik, oik, fatty.
And if you're getting fat, by the way, there are ways you can kind of cover that up with clothing.
Spanx! Put on some jeans and a Spanx and a bra with underwire.
I don't know what Spanx is, but ladies.
What
you're wearing isn't working.
All right. Happy birthday to my favorite Cusack, Joan Cusack. 30 Rock's Jane Krasowski.
Krasinski.
Close enough.
Whatever. True Blood hottie, Stephen Moyer. You God of Wu-Tang.
You God.
You God. Emily Deschanel and Michelle Trachtenberg. DVDs out today, Green Lantern and Horrible Bosses. TV on DVD out today, Bones, Chuck, and Gem and the Holograms. Bring it! Kick it!
Me and my friends are Gem.
Fashion
and fame. Woo! Exciting adventure, fashion and fame.
Jen right now. No! No!
Yes!
What was that? Is that a cartoon?
No. Smell my childhood. Yes. No. Jen was awesome. Okay. She was a supermodel who would go solve crime in Paris in high heels. As you do.
Sure.
Anyway, right. I'm Alex. That's your show.
Announced yesterday right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, our latest Breakfast With. This time it's Breakfast with the band Coldplay. They're going to be invading the Red Bull sound space at K-Rock. You can join us. We'll give you tickets later this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, all is right with the world, ladies and gentlemen. Our friend William Shatner back in the studio.
Yeah, tumultuous applause.
Oh, Bill. How are you, man? Don't ever die. Please don't die.
Why would you start with that?
Well, because I don't want to live in a world where there's no William Shatner, so
I'm
don't
staring
ever die.
Death in the face.
You're not.
Well, I am.
You're younger than I am.
But then on the other hand, so are you. We just don't know.
That's exactly right.
Bill, you were a couple weeks ago, you were on the Charlie Sheen roast. You were very, very funny. And you said to him at the time, how old are you? And he said, 46. And you said, how come we look like we went to high school together?
I know.
And I think that was half a joke on how poorly he's aged, but also half a compliment on how unbelievable you look at 80 years old.
Thank you. It's half and half.
Yeah.
Half and half.
Yeah,
right.
That's the best way to take your milk. You're not doing anything. You're not dieting and you're not enriching.
Mm-hmm.
Half and half.
It's all
exactly.
Even.
It's sort of in the middle.
Right. How did you end up on that Sheen thing? I hadn't even thought to bring that up until right now, but you didn't know Charlie, did you?
No. I didn't know him at all.
Just your experience with roasts.
The guys at Comedy Central, they did a roast of me some time ago. It was got some good stuff, and we've worked together over the years. So they were going to do the roast of Charlie. Asked me if I wanted to be on it. I said, "Want? You'll have to.
Me?
Yeah, get out of my way. I'm half and half, man."
Now you were roasted.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what it's like to sit in that chair and have people.
I do.
Sometimes horrible jokes about
horrible.
You. Yes. Now Charlie Sheen. I got the idea. He didn't really. Was he laughing along or was he acting like he was laughing?
Well,
along?
It's hard to tell with a good actor, you know, especially a guy who's doing a lot of comedy. I'm sure some of it hurts, but I had an insight that I'll share with you.
Okay.
I thought that it was like an intervention. And what an interesting way to do an intervention instead of shaming the person. Look what you've done to Daddy and your sister can't walk now because of you and your drinking. Do it with humor.
Interesting.
And let them see the same, the results of their action, but with humor.
Hey, look at how everybody else sees you. Maybe you need a little wake-up call, but make it funny.
Make it funny.
Interesting.
Interesting. Bill is great at finding the insights.
That didn't work with Hasselhoff, by the way, for the record.
Bill is great at finding the insights in life. It's one of the reasons I always love talking to you because, like me, you're an extremely curious person, which is why you do these interview shows like The Aftermath and The Raw Nerve, and I love both of those shows so much. But you never stop learning. That's one of the things that I love about you, and I think one of the reasons why you are a wellspring of material is because you are always finding out new things about yourself and about the world the longer you live.
Now, you guys are playing rock, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's a rock station.
Yes.
Okay, rock says rock.
Right.
I learned about heavy metal on this album of mine.
Yes, you did.
I mean, heavy metal. I had no idea. Now, you don't play heavy metal.
Well, I mean, some of these artists, and we're talking about Seeking Major Tom, the brand new album from William Shatner, which is available in stores and for download today.
It starts today. Although it's in the top 20s already
by pre-order.
Yes. Pre-order.
Nice.
It's on the charts at 26 or something.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, some of the artists that you're talking about, I mean, we wouldn't really consider some of them heavy metal. You could make the case for Black Sabbath, and Alice in Chains and the Strokes. You do members of are playing on your album.
Right.
I mean, it definitely
but
rocks.
Alec Wilde.
Yeah.
Alec Wilde. Is a heavy metal,
yeah.
And that was like a, and I got a headbanger award on from Revolver magazine.
You got a headbanger award,
a headbanger award.
Did you, when you were little, did you think someday I'm going to get a headbanger?
I knew
award?
When I you was knew. Three, headbanger. I was hitting the.
Should
my mother said, "Stop
Iron
banging
Man?
Your head against the wall." Mom, I'm going to get a headbanger award from Evolver magazine.
All right. I do want to hear some of Iron Man. We have lots of clips from Seeking Major Tom, but let me little background here.
Please.
Had you heard any of these songs that you were asked to cover?
He got
the
a headbanger award, Bean.
Okay. Some of these songs you were familiar with.
Some I had heard, some I'd forgotten.
What is your musical taste, Bill? Are you a country western fan, I'm guessing?
I love country western. I love the purity of country western and the fact that you can understand the lyrics and hum along with the with the melody. That's a fault of mine, and I just seem to have to overcome it. But I love all kinds of music. My range is jazz and opera and hip hop and beat music. I'm particularly fond of jazz, and I try to use that as an actor and as a conversationalist. Conversation is jazz. You guys are playing jazz every day.
No.
No.
Jazz is intricate and well played. We kind of are.
No, jazz can be lousy, too.
Barge our way through it.
Well, okay. You can have lousy jazz.
Okay, we're lousy jazz. But, Bill, you're absolutely right. Your performances are jazz. That's one of the things that makes your record so unique is because you are delivering the material, reading the lyrics, in a way that's completely different from anybody else, and you're improvising as you go, which I think is fascinating.
That's exactly right. Now, the improvisation does take on a certainty after a while, but in the beginning, rather than following a rote form or what somebody else has done, Bohemian Rhapsody is an interesting point of view example. Bohemian Rhapsody with Freddie Mercury and the Queens was like one of the great pieces of music in the last 20, 30 years.
Do you
agree with that?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, every year in Britain, when they do their polls of the greatest songs of all time, that comes out either at or near the top.
It's a masterpiece. So how dare I approach the masterpiece except that I was reinterpreting it. And that guitar solo at the end that Brian Mays did so well, we did again.
Little Bohemian Rhapsody.
Mama just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun, but now I've gone and threw it all away.
Come on.
What the hell is that song about, Bill?
What's that song about?
I'm not a lyric guy.
All right. So what was
ending? What's that song about?
What was the ending of 2001? 2001? What was the ending? What was that ending? You know, the guy.
It's open for interpretation.
Pierre Gillet comes in as an old man. Right. He floats around. And you say, yes, it's open for interpretation. Exactly. Now, in Seeking Major Tom, my fantasy is, in the Space Oddity song by David Bowie, he says, Major Tom steps out of the capsule. Where are you, Major Tom? You're gone. And that's the end of the song.
Right.
I speculate on what happened to Major Tom through all these songs. He steps out of the capsule. He walks on the moon. He's a space cowboy. And then begins to slowly die.
Oh.
Okay? Wow. So these songs take you where he's going. And this is him reminiscing. This, in my fantasy, is the background of Major Tom.
Fascinating.
Oh, wow. You're either a genius or crazy.
How about, I'd go with 50-50?
Both.
A crazy genius.
All right. You mentioned Iron Man. We're going to play a clip of that in a moment. How does that fit into Major Tom looking
back? He goes
back
to hell. He's gone to heaven in the Sinatra song, To the Stars. He queries God. How could God allow this? He says, I've got to struggle, and then he ends up in hell in Iron Man with that great chord, that opening chord, which to me is as like Beethoven. Da-da-da-da. Listen to this chord.
Has he lost his mind? Can he see, or is he blind? Can he walk at all? Or if he moves, will he fall?
Come on.
Zakk Wylde lays down, I lay down my track. I think, yeah, that's all right. I get along with that.
Right.
I go to Zakk Wylde's studio not far from here, and I watch this master with his guitar and his voice, and I'm thinking, what I have done is putrid. And I go back to the studio days later, and I lay down another track with his energy
and his passion. I like the YouTube of just you doing it, too. I really like that.
Yeah, but that was the first performance. Oh, I'm looking at it thinking, that's
that
terrible.
That's you got to step up your game, right?
Yeah. And I had to follow him. I learned. You talk about learning. I learned heavy metal from this guy.
Was it difficult to talk this guy into it? How do you go to him and say...
No, they all, many of them, most of them, jumped. This, they heard about the project and came aboard. There are 20. Bean, are you counting? 20
yes,
the greatest musicians alive today on this record, including Sheryl Crow, Brad Paisley, and Lyle Lovett, who sing songs. Sheryl Crow sings. Have you got a cut of Sheryl singing there?
I don't have that one.
Okay. Sheryl Crow sings, what's the word?
Mrs. Major Tom?
Mrs. Major Tom. There are a half a dozen songs written about Major Tom, which gave me the idea of seeking Major Tom.
Well, the album is available today. It is called Seeking Major Tom. You can buy it in fine retailers or available for download. As you said, it's already a huge hit in pre-orders on Amazon.com. You can go there or you can go to iTunes. We got much more to talk about with the great William Shatner, including his new book just released last week. And he's got another new DVD coming out next week. The hardest working man in show business sitting in here right now. 10 times my age. He gets more done before breakfast than I get done all year long. We'll return with Bill right after this on the Kevin and Bean.
I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
I agree.
I was just going to say the cowbells.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, it's K-Rock at 827.
William Shatner in the studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You were loving that Red Hot Chili Peppers song. Well, you were really enjoying that.
Now, see, if you were to ask me, like, what's my favorite group?
This is
fantastic.
Red Hot Chili
That's
Peppers.
A happy
right.
song.
It is.
But those cowbells
were nice touch.
Genius.
That's nice what touch. I thought. I like the Cowboys. I mean, the cowbell, more about that song than anything else.
Everything.
Yeah.
Bill is here with a brand new album in stores and available for download today called Seeking Major Tom. I insist you buy it. He also has a new book out, just out last week. How many books, if you know, Mr. Shatner, have you written at this point?
This is the 30th
book. Dozens, right?
30th book, Shatner Rules.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, is that real?
That's real.
30th?
30th book.
You've written 30 books?
Well, I'm sorry.
I haven't read 30 books.
Well,
it's unbelievable.
Shatner Rules is a book, is a very funny read. It's very funny. Somebody interviewing me said they got a seat on the subway. This is in New York. They got a seat on the subway because they were reading the book. And they started laughing out loud. People parted, and they were able to sit down.
Excellent. Good. So act crazy,
now,
and then you'll get
Shatner,
a seat.
Shatner Rules are lessons you've learned in your life, and you share those with your readers on how to have a more enjoyable life, or what?
Anecdotes that lead to rules that lead to laughter, but have something to say. And mostly what it is, to say yes to opportunity. The book is about saying yes to life. It's easy to say, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go on the Kevin and Bean Show. No, I'm not going to have that experience. No, I'm not. And say yes. And you'll make mistakes, but you never know, even out of those mistakes, where your life leads.
Something else.
Interesting. Yeah. Have you said yes to something in the past that you really didn't want to do and it turned out to be extraordinarily rewarding or beneficial to you?
Well, I don't think you say yes to something and think it's going to hurt you. But and then when it bites you in the rear, you say, maybe I should. It seemed like a good idea at the time.
Right.
But then you don't know. This record thing, for example, I did the Transform Man many years ago. It's a concept album. It needed 2 cuts. The radio play only allowed 3 minutes. It was 6-minute cut. I never was in context. But saying yes to the Transform Man begat the second album of mine, Has Been, which was highly lauded, which begat this album, which is, to me, one of the best things I've ever done.
Yeah. I still listen to Has Been. I still think that's one of my favorite albums in the last 10 years, Bill. The work that you did with Ben Folds is tremendous.
Thank
album.
You so much.
Tremendous.
And the one with That Hasn't Happened Yet?
Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
That's amazing.
One of the songs.
Yeah.
Amazing
so
songs, yeah.
Those songs led to this song, and that's what the book is about. Shatner Rules, out there this last week. It's doing really well, as is the record. I mean, I'm like, I can't believe it. And then there's this DVD of The Captains, a documentary I directed where I went to all the captains of Star Trek as actors, as human beings, and evoked from them bits and pieces of their soul. So it becomes a very meaningful documentary on actors and their lives and the community of feeling and thought that we have. And it's now out in DVD. It's coming out in DVD in the next week.
So album, DVD, book. You're doing everything but a CD. One-man show, Bill.
Well, funny you should mention that. Do you reach Canada? Does this show reach Canada?
Not at all.
I'm sorry to say.
No. Get online, but other than that, no.
Well, I'm going across Canada October 19th.
Of course you
starting
are.
Starting in Vancouver in a one-man show.
It's unbelievable.
Dial it back. You're making us all look bad.
I can't.
You're making us all look bad.
But
you're
if
ruining the curve. Come
on. But it's a bell curve.
Oh, man.
Bill was saying yesterday that he had a couple of hours of essentially free time where he didn't have commitments. And I was thinking, you could have as much of that time as you wanted. You're the one who's
But then you're saying yes to all this opportunity.
Well, you got to say yes to everything.
Your next one is going to be say yes to a lot of it. Take a little time off.
William Shatner is here at the Kevin and Bean Show. He has graciously agreed to stick around because he is a fan of the rock music, as are we. And the band Coldplay is coming in 1 week from today during the Kevin and Bean Show, live from the brand new Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. Coldplay is going to be here performing live. It's our latest Breakfast With. And what this means is huge band, tiny place, about 50, maybe somewhere between 50 and 75 people or so, probably is always going to be in
Come
the audience.
Come on, that many.
You get to see them play. You get to help us interview them. And we are looking for Coldplay fans right now. Now, Kevin, what are we going to do with Bill here? How's he going to help us give away the tickets?
We'll let you know. You just need to know lyrics. You need to know lyrics.
You need to know lyrics. Yep. Okay. No one will ever put two and two together.
That's right.
So call right now, 1-800-520-1067. You love Coldplay. You know their songs. You'll have a chance to win your way into the breakfast next on the Kevin and I just think you're kind of rubbing it in, playing "What's My Age Again" when you're making fun of Bill. Well, this, you know
I'm
what
not
I'm just
doing
saying?
That.
I'm just saying. What's the point, man? He's kind enough to come in here and be a guest.
I know. I daughtered in.
Exactly. William Shatner is in our studios here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's always a rare treat for us, and today he is going to help us out. You know, Bill is the foremost interpreter of lyrics in the world today, as far as I'm concerned, and he is going to help us out by helping us give you tickets for Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Coldplay. Just announced yesterday. This is brand new. Live from the new Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. We are taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. So, Bill, you've got some Coldplay lyrics in front of you.
I do.
You are going to be reading them listeners.
I'm reading them Coldplay.
Ah.
Hey! Oh, nicely done.
And then the listener, all they have to do is identify what song it is. If they are able to identify it, they go into the drawing to win the tickets to join us 1 week from today. Kevin, who's our first contestant?
Our first contestant is Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hi there.
Michael, you're on with the great William Shatner. Listen up. He's got a Coldplay lyric for you.
Should I give you a little jazz piano?
Anything you want. And the tears come streaming down your face when you lose something you can't replace. When you love someone but it goes to waste, could it be worse?
So much better than the original song. So much better. Suck it, Chris Martin.
Michael, what song is that?
I just first want to say that sounded really great, Bill Shatner. Thank you. That was Fix You.
That was Fix You.
Streaming down your face. There it is. Well done. All right, let's move along to contestant number two. This is going to be Chris. Chris, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. When you woke up today, you had no idea you'd be talking to TJ Hooker, but now it's happening.
All right, Chris, you ready?
Absolutely.
All right, here we go.
You put me down upon my knees. Oh, I beg and plead. Come out of things unsaid. Shoot an apple off my head. Trouble that can't be named. Tigers waiting to be tamed.
All right. Chris?
Chris?
Jeez, that was good, too.
What song do you think that was by Coldplay?
The Scientist.
Sorry, that was Clocks.
Put me down upon my knees.
Yeah, sorry about that. Chris.
Not a problem. Let's try Adam. 1-800-520-1067. Adam, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to play?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right, good luck. Here's Mr. Shatner.
Your skin. Oh, yeah, your skin and bones turn into something beautiful. You know, I love you so. You know. I love you so.
Is it a problem that I'm hard?
Hard of hearing?
I hope. I don't know about that, but if the next William Shatner album isn't William Shatner does Coldplay, I'm going to write a strongly worded letter. All right, Adam. What song was that?
Wow, that was a beautiful rendition of Yellow.
Yeah!
Okay. Everybody knows.
Nicely done.
All right. I don't know if I can trust Kevin to do another one. Let's try.
Get away from me, Kevin.
Kevin,
Chelsea.
Get your hands off me.
Chelsea is on line 4, giving away tickets for the Kevin and Bean Breakfast with Coldplay. Chelsea, how have you been doing so far listening on hold? Have you gotten them so far?
Pretty good. Minus one.
All right. Okay. All right. Good luck. Here's the great William Shatner with a Coldplay lyric. Listen up.
A spider web. It's tangled up with me, and I lost my head. And the thought of all the stupid things I said, oh no. What's this? A spider web, and I'm caught in the middle.
Chelsea?
That's the I don't know it sound.
You're about to embarrass yourself in front of a starship captain. I hope you know that.
Spider web, and I'm caught in the middle.
Title, please. Title of a song.
So sorry. We were looking for Trouble this time.
There you go. So thank you.
All right. We got time for just one more. By the way, Bill, you familiar with Coldplay? You know they're Coldplay, right?
Oh, my gosh. You're one of my favorite groups.
Because I swear to God,
how do you spell
that? All right. Never mind then. Javier will be our final contestant. So far, do we just... Who's in the drawing so far? I only see Adam up there on hold.
No, we have two.
We lost one.
We did.
Someone hung up is what I'm saying.
Yes, and that was...
He's back.
I wonder if it was the reading.
That was a Kevin error, but we have him
on. He is back. Yes, okay. All right. Javier is trying to get into the drawing for Coldplay tickets. You ready to play, dude?
Let's do this.
Listen up.
I turned the music up. I got my records on. From underneath the rubble, sing a rebel song. Don't want to see another generation drop. I'd rather be a comma than a full stop.
Nice. Javier.
I got no idea.
He was going to guess. I'm just going to say.
Viva la vida.
Nope, sorry. Every tune is a waterfall.
All right, so basically, we just have Michael and Adam to choose from. Yes. William Shatner reads the hits, by the way, giving away tickets for Coldplay 1 week from today on the Kevin and Bean Show at the brand new Red Bull Soundspace at K Rock. Who's our winner?
Our winner is Michael.
Michael. Yay!
I want to hear the cowbells.
Michael, I'm sorry I hung up on you before. Thanks for calling back.
Oh, no problem. All right. I'm glad I won. Thank you. Me too. Thank you. Go to
Amazon.com or iTunes to get your copy of William Shatner's new album, Seeking Major Tom, available today. You can also buy his new book called Shatner Rules, Your Guide to Understanding the Shatnerverse and World at Large. And, of course, The Captain's on DVD next weekend.
And a one-man show. We expect you to follow him all the way across Canada.
Absolutely. Bill, you're the very best, my friend. Thank you so much for coming in.
It was a pleasure being here, guys. Thank
you. Do a breakfast with those guys.
106.7. No, I don't think they're available.
106.7. K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8:54.
How fun was William Shatner, by the way?
Oh, he's the best.
Yeah. Guy's a marvel.
He's a marvel.
He is. If I weren't so lazy, I would try to model my life after him.
But you're way too lazy, too, so don't even
mention You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. Adam Carolla joins us for This Week in Rage, coming up next right after the top of the hour. In the meantime, hey, it's us, Kevin and Bean, filling in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat.
So they're shooting Resident Evil 5 in Canada. And according to law officials in the story that TMZ just posted, they had an accident where a bunch of extras were maybe seriously hurt.
Mm.
They fell like 10, 15, 20 feet. There's not a lot of details on exactly what happened. But there is one line that I found sort of funny, if there can be one in a situation like this. Law enforcement showed up. Apparently, their injuries, they were having a lot of trouble assessing the real injuries versus the zombie makeup.
Oh, of course.
So the EMTs show up and they run up to a guy who's dressed as a zombie and maybe he's got his leg eaten away.
And he goes, this guy looks terrible.
No, that's makeup. It's my arm. They had a really hard time figuring out what was the actual injury and what was makeup.
They must have gotten there and been horrified.
Right. Oh, this looks terrible. We need extra help. It's not funny that any of these people got injured, but it is funny that they couldn't figure out where the injuries were.
Imagine what it would be like to be a paramedic showing up and you turn, the guy's laying on the ground and you turn him over and half of his face is missing and libs are falling off.
What are you talking about your ankle? I'm dealing with your face.
It's that's makeup.
That is funny. Hey, speaking of movies, the internet is melting down today. I don't know if it will survive because one of the most anticipated movies, maybe the most anticipated movie ever for comic book geeks, and it's a shame that Ralph isn't here because these are his people, is the Avengers movie. You know, we've seen bits and pieces with all the, you know, various movies that have come out over the years, you know, with the Iron Man and whatnot. They have kind of been leading up to the Avengers movies where everybody stars in it at once. Chris Hemsworth, Scarlett Johansson, Chris Evans, Jeremy Renner, Robert Downey Jr., of course, Samuel L. Jackson, Gwyneth Paltrow, Mark Ruffalo, Paul Bettany. I mean, everyone is in this movie. Avengers doesn't come out until next summer, but the trailer is on the internet today, and we have it for you at kevinandbean.com. You can see the first trailer as of today. It just came out today. I think we have a little bit of audio from the movie to kind of get you hyped for it.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah.
What? That's not the Avengers. That's Omar's Cucamonga Heat. You want the Avengers now.
In the end, it will be every man for himself.
There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people. So when we needed them, they could fight the battles that we never could.
No offense, but I don't play well with others.
Big man in a suit of armor. Take that away. What are you?
A genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn sure we'll avenge it.
Dr. Banner, your work is unparalleled, and I'm a huge fan of the way you lose control and turn into an enormous green rage monster.
Come on with the come on,
that's
right?
That's pretty great.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That is going to be great.
Let's see. Kanye West was spotted. I don't know if you've been paying any attention to Occupy Wall Street in New York City.
Oh, yes. Yeah. In everywhere, in hundreds of cities across the country. Yeah, but it started in New York at Wall Street, right?
This is the this all started with Wall Street being held accountable for all of the problems that we're having right now financially, and that they're not being, in that they're not being held accountable. So they call it the 99%, which is the rest of us, and then the 1% that's Wall Street. Well, apparently, according to New York Magazine, Kanye West and Russell Simmons went to the protest to walk around to see how the other 99% live. Mm-hmm. Is according to how the New York Magazine
really
named it. And not a lot of the protesters were happy to see him.
Well, I don't think their favorite look, I've got a lot to say about this, and we haven't talked about it much on the air, but I don't think their favorite people are people who are really, really, really wealthy. I mean, Russell Simmons and Kanye West are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. The people who are out there protesting, in many cases because they can't have jobs, look at rich people as the enemy.
Yeah.
Instead of, I don't know, I think they should be a little bit more precise with their rage. Look at the rich people who are criminals, who are making bad decisions that hurt the country as the enemy. Not all rich people. Kanye West deserves every penny he's gotten because he's worked really hard, he's very talented, and he has made it on his own.
I agree, but doesn't he? He's not rubbing it in their faces, but
I mean, it's not his fault that he's wealthy. If he wants to go down there, and I suspect the reason he went down there is because he's interested in this as a social issue and wants to see it for himself and talk to those people as himself rather than just see what's being filtered through the media.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're directing hate at Kanye, and God, you know, I've not always defended Kanye because he's a moron a lot of the times. He's done nothing wrong here. It's not his fault. He happens to be successful and wealthy. They shouldn't be cold toward him if he's down there to try to support them, is what
I'm
saying.
That's your opinion. I'm saying perhaps he should have seen this coming and not gone down there. Because they really do, they are pretty much hating on rich people.
They do hate on the rich, yeah. That's for sure.
So, and he's rich. I agree with you, he earned it, but I don't know that they can tell the difference or want to.
Yeah, and this has been fascinating to watch. I mean, it's in every major city and lots of minor cities across the country. And I don't know whether it's people who are really, there's a movement happening where people are trying to, as they say, you know, take the government back, or if it's just people who are bored and think it sounds like fun to go down there and sleep in a park for 3 days. I can't really tell who's serious and who's just glomming onto it because it's fun at this point. But, interesting stuff. Today's celebrity birthdays. How about Luke Perry, still and perhaps forever best known as that guy from Beverly Hills 90210? He turns 46 years old today. Actor David Morse is so good. He's 58 today. Musician and actor Harry Connick Jr., I think he's in that Dolphin Tale movie that's in theaters right now, is 44. Daryl Hall of Hall & Oates is 65 today. John Cusack's sister Joan, very talented actress, turns 49 today. Jane Krakowski from Krakowski. None of us have been able to say
it's
her name correctly today.
I got corrected by a listener. Yeah,
is from 30 Rock, and she is 43 today. I think we probably first saw her on Ally McBeal. Emily Deschanel is 35 today. Michelle Trachtenberg has a birthday today from Weeds. She is 26, and that is your Showbiz Beat. What's up, party people? Thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Always a thrill to welcome our old friend Adam Carolla back to the show. AdamCarolla.com, of course, the number one most downloaded podcast in the world, and details of all of Ace's upcoming live events, including most Thursday nights at the John Lovitz Comedy Club at Universal City Walk, and a special Christmas show, which is happening in Anaheim on December 15th. Adam Carolla hates the holidays. Ace Man, how are you?
Yeah, I'm dismayed.
Dismayed?
Dismayed. I don't like the sound of that.
Dismayed.
Hey, what happened to Get It On? You said...
Oh, get it on.
There you go. All right.
All right. Now I'm dismayed.
Is this one of your This Week in Rage? Or...
Yes.
All right. Let me get to it then. Here we go.
Starting.
Every week.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Oh, starting at 3. And I'm sticking with a theme today. I'm going strip club.
Okay.
Right on through. I've not been to a strip club in a while.
Okay.
I'm not proud of it, being honest.
But did someone ask you about it, or how did this come up?
I actually went to a bachelor party in Vancouver and went to a strip club and was appalled.
Now before you burst our bubbles, Kevin has famously said on this show hundreds of times that Vancouver has some of the best strip clubs in the world. You're not going to say anything to counter that, are you?
Beautiful town, fine people. I think we've poisoned them. The toxic cloud known as the U.S. has floated over the border and polluted even the great strip clubs of Vancouver.
How dare you?
It's been a while. And well, first off, you start with the music.
Okay.
Like, you used to go in and you just hear songs that you by Grand Funk Railroad and The Cult or something, and you'd go, I love Slow Ride, yeah! You'd hear songs that you liked, or, of course, you know, Girls, Girls, Girls. I mean, there were strip club songs. They had songs. Like, bands would write songs for strip clubs back in the 80s. Now it's nonstop syntho grind. It's just that crazy, grindy, frenetic syntho. Some gay guy standing behind a Macintosh who's just blaring this stuff. Nothing sounds familiar. It's not like you're in there for an hour and then you go, oh, this song. No. You don't. You don't like any of the songs. It's just this. It's a pulsating grind.
You're saying, Ace Man, how about a little more Cherry Pie by Warrant and a little less Soulja Boy?
Oh, I would have performed oral on that DJ for one note of Cherry Pie, a sliver of Cherry Pie, without even any crust, just a little filling. That's what you want. That's right. That's what you wait for in a strip club. So the music is a complete bust. It's all, by the way, all music, all clubs, everywhere is just that crazy syntho grind stuff that hurts your teeth. Secondly,
I had a conversation with my grandpa last night that went just like this.
No, listen, I'm sorry, but this is hallowed ground. This is sacred ground. This is a strip club. You play songs by Foghat there. Not weird. By the way, the guys who create that music, you want guys like Moby playing your strip club music? The guy's asexual. You think he's ever been in a strip club? He hates the idea of strip clubs. A bunch of androgynous guys who weep for the rainforest or probably chain themselves to some bridge near Wall Street right now. You want that guy making your strip club music, or you want the guys who hang out in strip clubs making strip club music?
Absolutely. Right. Let the guys in Guns N' Roses in. Come on.
Point taken.
The guys who live in strip club should be making strip club music. It's called research. All right. I blame partially the decline on the cocktails. Used to be guy'd go in there, he'd get a beer or a slow gin fizz or an old fashioned or maybe some Cutty Sark, couple of fingers of Cutty Sark.
Now it's all talking about?
That's right, old school, baby. Frank Sinatra style.
Okay.
Now it's all Red Bull and vodka and Rockstar and Jägermeister.
It's much better, right?
They've what they've done is they've taken the a-hole and we've turbocharged him with Red Bull. You know the guys that were formerly hanging around the a-hole level? They're good 6.5 or 7, like Lightning's friends.
Sure.
Those guys are all 11s now.
Yeah.
They've all been... It's like taking a guy who's an asswipe and just feeding him creatine for a year. It's like, oh, now he's an asswipe who can kick my ass. This is horrible. Imagine Lightning's friends just sucking up the Red Bull.
Yeah.
What a disaster. So everyone in there is just beaked out of their mind. They're drunk and beaked, which is a horrible combo. And thus, they like the music because that feeds that brain when it's drowned in rock star energy drink. It wants that pulsating music.
I feel like Adam is attacking me personally today.
and listen, there's nothing wrong with a Red Bull and vodka, you know, in the morning if you're, you know, you got to get out there and take the kids to school and you need a little hop in your step. There's nothing wrong with a pick-me-up. I agree with that, Kevin. What
no,
I'm saying is
that's not what
you're
I'm
at
saying.
A strip club.
Right.
There's naked women. Uh-huh. You don't need more. You got boobies. That's what you're there for.
Okay.
And speaking of boobies, number one, the performances.
Uh-oh.
Oh, these chicks, it's turned into Gymkhana out there. It's like seeing an 80s movie. You gotta Google it. The point is I don't want to see Mitch Gaylord on a pole. I want to see a half-drunk chick with a nice C or D cup jiggling around a pole. You know what that pole is there for? That pole was initially put there to hold up drunken chicks who really didn't want to be doing this. Not to support the weight of professional gymnasts who hate their stepdads.
Yeah.
These chicks are out there doing like a flag position thing. Bart Connor could not pull this crap off. I'm seeing striated veins in their stomach and their forearms are popping and there's not a boob or an ass cheek to be found because these chicks are all built like 13-year-old boys now. And they're doing these, you know, crazy yoga moves, and they're running at the pole. And it's great if you want to be entertained with your grandparents. I'm looking to be entertained with my penis. Let me explain the entertainment part of a strip club.
All right.
Nude chicks.
There's that, sure.
Sounds simple.
Don't ever forget that. Let's never get past that part. Remember back in the day we'd go to a strip club? Did we ever sit there and go, well, sure she's hot, and sure she's a D cup, and sure she's naked and standing 2 feet in front of me, but why isn't she in a back bridge? Why is she not doing a shoulder roll?
I don't remember ever asking that question.
I don't remember saying, why is she not hanging from the rafters upside down with her head? No, it's not Cirque du Soleil. I want to see somebody hold still, stand there naked.
Are you positive you went to a strip club?
They're all going nuts on that pole now. Some kind of pole competition where they're trying to do gymnastics. It's going to be an Olympic trial event next year. I'm positive.
I hope
this
so.
This is very sad. You stepped away for a couple of minutes, and they done changed the game on you, Ace. What are you going to do?
Your eyes, Bean.
Adam Carolla Show podcast and the upcoming dates of Adam Carolla Live on Stage available for you. Where else but adamcarolla.com. This has been This Week in Rage, and don't forget the car show Wednesday nights at 10 on the Speed Channel as well. Ace, have a great week, man. Thanks for coming on. Afro Line available for you 24 hours a day. You call us, leave a message, we play it back on the radio. It's as easy as that. 323-520-AFRO. A lot of people are calling when they're drinking. Is that the case this time around too?
Well, I would suggest that everything you know about Omar would tell you that this next call cannot possibly be true unless he's drunk.
Yo, what's happening, Kevin Bean? This is DJ Omar Khan. Did you see my Detroit Lions last night, motherfucker? Yeah, you can't get with this. Bean and his whack-ass Seattle Seahawks and Ralph and his loser Eagles and whatever gay-ass team Kevin likes. It's all about Detroit Lions. Yeah, Megatron in the house. Scoring touchdowns left and right. You can't get with this. We're going all the way to the Super Bowl. Detroit Lions, yeah!
Now, what's happening? Omar hates sports.
Yeah,
hates sports.
He watches nothing.
He has no team. He doesn't watch anything on TV. He doesn't care about sports.
It's not like he watches the NFL and just likes to watch good football. He doesn't watch the NFL.
How did that call happen?
Drinking.
Seriously?
I would imagine.
It sounded to me like he had come from a strip club where he had 30 Red Bulls. That's what it sounded to me like.
That guy Red Bulls, right?
No, you don't.
Yeah, guys, I wanted to hire DJ Omar Khan for a birthday party, but I didn't quite catch the website you put on the air, so I tried some of the following. TheTimeIsNow.com, LookingForMoreTowers.net, YeahEric.edu, GleeLoversFanClubNumber1.com, and finally, RachelRayAirtight.net. I couldn't reach him at any of those, so can you give me the real website, please?
I think it's Rachel Ray Airtight. I think that's the one that, he goes with.
I think you just go to KevinBean.com and you'll find a link if you want to hire Omar.
DJ Omar Khan.
This goes out to Lisa May. Ever since he didn't go to that ball with that one guy, I don't have Lisa May Mondays in my happy time anymore. Instead, you want to know when I think about you, Lisa May? When I'm taking a because that's what you did on this country, and that's sad. God bless America.
I'm with you, sir. I'm with you as well.
That's what Lisa did.
I hear that ESPN has fired Lisa. She will no longer be used to introduce Monday Night Football. That's how bad it's gotten.
That is sad. I'm going to go write a song.
I'm not talking about
that. Well, you're a douche.
Thank you for that.
All right.
Thank you for that kind
of specificity. He's not here, but we'll pass it along.
Specificity. This one will make Bean happy and me sad.
Okay.
Maybe it's wing.
Okay. Ow. Stop. Please stop.
Yeah, that's what I say every time you play it.
Look, she's not doing justice to the great Halloween Spooks song, which, by the way, I think maybe tomorrow is the day we start that in. We are getting awfully close to the holiday.
Tomorrow's
all time. It's not Halloween without Halloween Spooks.
No, it is Halloween, whether you play that or not.
No.
And by the way, that guy, that phone call and your ears hurting is exactly what happens to me when you play the song. You don't care, do you?
I don't at all.
All right. People love me.
So here's a question for the ages. Is Kevin the smartest dumb guy in the world or the dumbest smart guy in the world? Mata asa, that's a toss-up.
That's an excellent point and an excellent question.
I wish I had an answer for it.
Oh, that was hilarious. That was the longest F-up I've ever heard from Kevin. That was hilarious. I heard it, and I started laughing, and then you brought it back. Oh, my God, that's funny. I can't wait to hear it again.
Yeah, we don't have time for that.
Oh, I think we have time.
We have to move on because we have the showbiz beat coming
up. No. The latest moment with, which is, I think, on track to maybe be our favorite moment with for 2011.
Were you guys edited together like four conversations?
Well, let the listeners decide. Listen up.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
It seems like it would be a natural reaction because other people have treated you like your life, like you're incredibly, great and your life is great and you must have. And they all treat you differently than they do normal people. How do you keep your head about your...
That was a moment with Kevin.
That's real cool right there, man.
Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Ralph Garman out today. Probably fielding all those offers for the It's Bobby spinoff after his character appearance on House last night. But we hope he'll be back tomorrow and feeling better. In the meantime, here's producer Alex filling in with the showbiz beat.
Good morning. The Black Keys are going to release their new album in December. Woo!
Oh, can we please interview them?
Oh, I love their music so much. We don't need to talk to them, but we can, high-five them, maybe,
and
play their music.
Some bands are like that. Some bands, you just go, maybe we shouldn't talk to them, but you love their music, so you'd rather have
that. They are incredibly nice. Have a wonderful dry sense of humor.
Correct.
That occasionally does not translate well in a live interview. But they're fantastic. Their new album is coming out December 6th. It's called El Camino. The band is getting the word out with a video made up to look like a commercial for a used car lot.
Sweet.
Comedian Bob Odenkirk stars as a sleazy used car salesman. You can also call this number, 330-510-1206, to hear a message from drummer Patrick Carney about the album, or you can click on wannabuyavan.com.
What's happening here?
I don't know, but it makes me love them even more. So, Black Keys, wannabuyavan.com.
Can we call that phone number?
Sure.
Right now?
Sure. Why not? Are you kidding? The dynamic Black Keys are going to be talking to us?
How can we not want to hear that? So, we don't know what it is. 330-510-1206. I am going to ask Casey on the button to be ready.
Oh, please.
Because we haven't screened this. I don't know.
Why. Casey on the button is always ready.
Why we're dialing it live on the air. This is good radio. Okay, well.
Hey, this is Pat. If you're calling about the van that Dan and I are trying to sell, it's a 1994 El Camino. It's got about 250,000 miles on it.
Quarter million.
Oh, good.
Six. It's in pretty good shape. It's got some surface noise, a little bit of ring wear. Some pops, some ticks.
You've
some
got
rust,
some ring wear, don't you?
Panel sides. Anyway, leave a message and we'll get back to you.
What if we're not cool? All right.
Scott's okay. Plastic. So there you
those,
go.
Those are our guys.
Sweet.
I promised you dynamic, and they are.
Fantastic. Amy Winehouse's father, Mitch Winehouse.
Guilty.
No, he's good. He's a good one. He's made an agreement with HarperCollins to release a memoir called Amy, My Daughter in the summer of 2012. It will be a recollection of Amy from her youngest years through her singing career all the way to her tragic substance abuse problems.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez. Drop a palooza, guys. Everything. Is it Friday yet? Seriously?
I'm going to go now, right?
Okay. Thank you.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
There you go. Amy, sadly, is no longer with us. By all accounts, Mitch Winehouse is not a Michael Lohan. He's a good dad, even though his daughter came to a tragic end. He apparently did everything he could to try to help her. So proceeds of this book will go to the Amy Winehouse Foundation, an organization he created to help troubled teens and young adults in their addiction recovery. That's pretty awesome. You might want to grab that.
Welcome to my nightmare.
Come on. I thought you were leaving. I thought you were going. All right. And this story has to be false, but I just need to report on it because it's so crazy because there's photographic evidence.
Sometimes we choose to believe.
Yeah. Beyonce is faking her pregnancy.
I knew it.
According
liars
to photos on BuzzFeed.com, if you check it out, they have four photos up of Beyonce doing an interview on Sunday Night HD where she's about to sit down and you see her baby bump. It's very prominent. And then as she sits down, the dress starts to fold over. The bump becomes flat and long and just disappears. It's like she has a balloon in her belly and then someone punched it and it just sort of deflates.
Now, did anyone see this or it's just photos? Because you can do anything with photos.
True. So I have the photos here, but the rumor is that Beyonce is wearing a fake prosthetic while an unknown surrogate carries her baby.
That's not brown rice.
Sweet.
This is a crazy plot line from the new Sarah Michelle Gellar show Ringer. But I'm in. Here are the photos. If you'd like to look at them, Kevin.
That would be so
weird. Her belly
disappears. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Hey, girl, you are beautiful.
I don't know. I think if Beyonce and Jay-Z couldn't have biological children, they strike me as the type that would just follow Madonna into some cool village in Africa and just adopt the village. You know what I mean? Like,
they're not going to fake.
And that they would use it as a chance to highlight adoption. Or,
and those prosthetics look really good, and they don't fold particularly.
They use them in their
design. I choose to believe it because it's awesome.
I want to. It's crazy.
But
why,
if they were trying to pull this, lie over on the world, why would they come out so publicly and announce that she was even pregnant? Why would they bring that attention on themselves and then be doing interviews about it rather than playing it super low-key?
Dude, their baby, it's like the second coming of Christ. You don't even understand. Jay-Z and Beyonce's baby, it's going to come out with a crown on its head. It's already anointed. You don't seem to understand the child of Hova that's coming.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to Joan Cusack. Oh, my God. Stop it. What happened to that guy you say in that drop, by the way? Jane Krakowski from 30 Rock. We got schooled. Lisa May and I got emails from the Polish Alliance. About
that one?
Yes. And they're demanding an apology.
Krakowski. There we go. Apparently, if you say Krasinski, that's a whole different sect. And, like, they fight.
They
the Krakowskis and the Krasinskis.
Who knew that they were longtime enemies?
No idea.
Huh.
Stephen Moyer from True Blood has a birthday today. U-God of Wu-Tang. He's my favorite tanger.
Is he?
U-God. Emily Deschanel Bones, Michelle Trachtenberg. New releases today. We had William Shatner in here, Seeking Major Tom. Go out and buy it.
Can't wait.
Ashes
sure will.
And Fire by Ryan Adams. American Capitalist by Five Finger Death Punch, which is still probably one of the best band names out there today. And the motion picture soundtrack from Drive is out. If you haven't seen that movie,
That's awesome.
You have to enjoy watching long shots of Ryan Gosling.
I could enjoy that.
There is a lot of that.
It's fantastic. He's very pensive, and he's angry and leather.
He can look however he wants.
He sure does just stare through a lot of that.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
But Alex, you've seen the lawsuit of the woman who is suing the movie company because that's what the movie is, right?
What?
Because the trailer makes it look like a Fast and the Furious movie with car chases and cars turning upside down and everything
that
like
happens.
That. Yeah, that happens in 30 seconds of a two-hour movie, but she expected it to be like that, and she's suing the movie company because it's too much of Ryan Gosling looking out the window.
All right, first of all, she's an idiot.
Yes.
Second of all, there's not much car racing in it. It really
there's
isn't.
Enough that's pretty
not
awesome.
I'm saying not
it's
enough.
A very cool character study. It's a very stylized indie film, and it kicks ass.
Ryan Gosling...
I will say, to advertise Christina Hendricks being in it might be false advertising.
I
don't
agree.
Get too attached, because as soon as you see her, she may not be around anymore.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
No, are you serious?
DVD's out today, Green Lantern and Horrible Bosses. TV on DVD, we have Bones, the sixth season, Chuck, the fourth season, but all we care about today is Gem and the Holograms. Out!
Me Woo! And my friends are Gem girls! Gem!
Go
Gem.
Bones!
I don't know.
Exciting adventure, fashion, and fame. What's your gem girl? You never could see. Come on and be a gem girl. Gem, gem is my name.
Yes. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to get that.
You're welcome, America. I am Alex. That is your Showbiz Beat.
All right. Thank you, Alex. This is the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow morning, an all-new program. As we're getting to the Halloween time, we're going to start taking some guests that are kind of in keeping with that season. Josh Gates is going to be on the program tomorrow. He's written a book called Memoirs of a Monster Hunter.
Ooh.
He's been doing that TV show for a while. And Rachel Bilifsky. I hope I'm saying that right for whichever groups you were saying were, were protesting the way we were saying other people's name. She's going to be calling about 2011 Scream Fest tomorrow. And... we also have breakfast with Coldplay tickets.
How about that?
There you go.
So we will see you tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.